Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling.
Well, you thought we had an intense storm? Who was in Guadalajara, Mexico yesterday? Raise your hand.
I was just there, but I wasn't there yesterday.
Guadalajara, Mexico yesterday had up to 5 feet of hail.
Wow. How do you have 5 feet of hail?
Check these pictures out online. Just Google Guadalajara or 5 feet of hail, and you'll see what I'm talking about. I thought this was an Onion story when I saw it. And a freak storm, ridiculous torrential rainfall.
Oh, my gosh.
Thunderstorms and hail. In spots, up to 5 feet of hail piled up in Guadalajara,
Mexico. It's up to the over the tires of a semi.
Yeah, they were using graders and backhoes to remove it all.
It looks like big snowballs on top of each other.
Well, that's got to be like end of the world stuff. You know, if you're there, you're going, what's happening? Hey, this hail seems pretty intense.
Wow.
Anybody got a yardstick? That's just crazy.
It's like you can crunch on it. That's so weird.
5 feet of hail.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a people and animals buried underneath some of that.
Oh, yikes.
What is happening in the world? There's the weirdest weather.
The climate's fine, everybody. Don't worry.
Yeah, it's great.
We'll be fine.
Every other day, there's a storm.
Nothing to see
insane.
Here.
It's all good. Everybody have a nice weekend?
Had a great weekend. How about you?
Busy. It was at the Sox win on Friday night. Got a little rain, but nothing serious. Dave, you were there yesterday.
I was there yesterday.
It was more serious.
Yes, and you talk about a scary-looking sky there in the... right around the fourth inning, and then the fifth inning, it started to move in.
The straight line winds in that afternoon storm were crazy.
Weren't they?
60, 70 mile an hour gusts?
No, what? I was in a movie and the power went out.
During a movie?
Yeah, I was seeing Rocket Man.
Did the movie stop?
Yeah, everything stopped. I mean, it was the signal flashing strobe light thing went off.
I've never had that happen.
I haven't, me either. And I was in the luxury seat things, you know, and I'm laying there.
You're in a VIP box at the movie?
Yeah, well, they just had the nice.
Yeah, so Mary went out to her car and took a nap till the movie started again.
No, well, but here's the problem. Right in that nice seat.
If you don't know what's going on and you feel like it's an emergency to leave, you're in the recliner.
Yeah.
You got to get the recliner to get back in the proper position to exit.
Yeah, we didn't know what to do. We're all talking like, okay, is it the weather? Is it the movie? And then it came back on and we missed a whole song.
How long was the movie out?
Rocket Man? It was like the first hour of it, I guess. And it was a major storm outside that hit.
No, I mean, how long was the power out?
About 3 minutes, four minutes.
Okay.
It was a while. It seemed like an eternity.
What song did you miss, Dina?
It was a song I wasn't familiar with, and I'm trying to remember which one it wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't. There were some songs in it you weren't familiar
with. How do you know if you missed it?
Well, it was at the end of the song, because at the beginning they were singing, and then all of a sudden they were indifferent. I'm like, wait a minute, we missed the whole song.
Did a little Usher kid come in and say, we continue this movie already in progress?
Nobody told us anything. Nothing.
Well, I didn't have time. It was 3 minutes.
There were only like 15 of us there anyway.
It's a good movie.
It's a great movie.
Yeah, I
loved
thought so,
it.
Too. And Steve, your weekend?
It was very nice. Spent some time with friends. Was outside a little bit. Got to see some of these nice storms come in yesterday and got soaked.
Pride Parade, they had to end early.
I don't remember a time when they've ever canceled the Pride Parade like that.
Yeah, they took folks off and they thought they would be able to, you know, literally sit out a rain delay. And then they said, no, this is going to last a while.
Yeah, the big problem was lightning because it was flashes of lightning all around. And there were even some strikes nearby. And so they just decided it was too dangerous to keep going.
It's weird with all those rainbows. And yet a storm rolled in.
Yep.
Strange.
Oh, Steve, that was very nice.
Right? Deep, huh?
Yeah.
So how much was left of the parade? Does anybody know? Because I've seen times on the Pride Parade, if you like, if you ever wondered how long the Pride Parade lasts, they go, well, the hour to 5 hours. What?
It's 4 miles long.
Right. So it's long. 5 hours, I suppose, if you're the last float.
Yeah, I think it was almost over. I'm pretty sure. It was like 2:30-ish when they called it.
Yeah, everybody looked like they were having a good time.
It started at noon, so I think it was almost over. But, yeah, people had to make a mad dash for it.
So, and did we get our million or so that was expected? Has there been an estimate of crowd size?
I haven't seen one yet, no.
Okay.
I'll go with a million.
Let's call it a million. Why not call it a million? All right, let's get to it. Top 6 at 6. Right now.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Your kicks. Get your kicks. With the Top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Hey, you and the Ford Fiesta, put your phone down. It's July 1st. Don't touch your phone, kids. Starting today, texting, of course, was already illegal in the state while you were in the car driving. But this new law bans drivers from using their phones to do things like check directions, check email, look up a phone number. There's also a harsher penalty on top of fines if a driver's caught doing this more than 3 times in one calendar year. You lose your license.
You're going to need that ticket money to pay for the extra gas.
19-cent increase today. I hope everybody gassed up yesterday.
I did. Sure, I filled up both cars.
As you know, on the White Lightning, the Chevy Tahoe, I've got a 200-gallon tank, so you know it made sense for me to fill up yesterday.
Absolutely.
But the lines. I drove by a Costco yesterday afternoon. The lines look like some sort of 70s gas rationing situation.
Which they normally do there anyway.
But like 10 deep.
Yeah. Well, it hasn't gone up. What, the tax hasn't gone up in how many years?
I don't know.
Years
since the 1990s.
Yeah.
But if you roll by a gas station today and you miss the memo, that's why it's 19 cents more today. Next. Donald Trump became the first president to set foot in North Korea yesterday for a bro hug with Kim Jong-un. He had quite a 3-day weekend, 4-day weekend, palling around with Vladimir Putin, smiling and joking about election interference, meeting with his buddy, MBS, from Saudi Arabia, and ignoring questions about MBS sanctioning the murder of a Washington Post journalist, and then the Kim Jong-un love dance. Look, you can't make it up. You can't make it up. It's just happening. It's just, and the idea that we got something out of this, well, as Trump likes to say, we'll see what happens. Because as of now, the New York Times reporting this morning that the president has tacitly agreed to North Korea and a nuclear freeze by them. In other words, yeah, you can have your nukes, just don't build anymore.
So in other words, we have now a nuclear North Korea that we're going to accept.
And why would we not trust them? I mean, they've always told us the truth before. Can you imagine being Otto Warmbier's parents yesterday? I mean, I hope their power went out. I hope they didn't have cable. I hope they don't have internet. I hope they don't have to see that. Otto Warmbier, of course, is the college-aged kid who did something stupid at a North Korean hotel and tore down a poster. Was then in prison for a year, tortured, beaten, finally released, came back here, and died. What was he, 23, 4? I don't even know.
Something like that.
So, awful story all the way around. And for those of you who missed it, the president set foot in North Korea yesterday. And, sadly, he didn't stay. Next. The first Democratic primary debates have taken a toll on Vice President Biden. And, you know, again, these polls. I don't know if you know this, but the polls in 2016 had Hillary Clinton winning. It didn't go that way, in case you missed that. But the polls by something called Morning Consult in 538, after both debates, showed Biden's support numbers plummeted by as much as 10 points. And one other political note from 2020, even though if you haven't noticed, I try to avoid talking about 2020 as much as possible because it's 2019. And Pete Buttigieg raised $24 or $25 million in the last quarter, which is almost 4 times what he raised in the quarter prior. So the little town of South Bend, the mayor that could is getting it done. Even though he doesn't appear to be that popular at home, he's become a national treasure. Next, Luis Giolito, James McCann, and Jose Abreu all will represent the White Sox at the All-Star Game. Let's go live to Super Joe, Super White Sox fan. Super Joe, are you surprised by this?
I am not surprised by the three that are in. I am a little surprised that they didn't mention Tim Anderson, even though he's unavailable, he's injured. I think it would have been nice to name him an all-star and then replace him later on. I think he's had an awesome first half.
And Jose Abreu certainly should be in.
Yeah.
He had like 300, 19 home runs.
Yeah, his on-base percentage is a little low, but other than that, I mean, his power numbers are outstanding. He's having a really good year, and it's a contract year, so you're not really surprised that this guy has picked it up.
Tearing it up. And let's go live now to Dave for the Cubs side of this story. Dave, who is in for the Cubs?
Well, they already had two starters, Wilson Contreras and Javier Baez, and Chris Bryant was named a reserve for the National League team yesterday, his third All-Star appearance. And you know, I don't think there are any glaring omissions there. I think you know, maybe Cole Hamels would have had a shot had he not gotten hurt. He's on the injured list now, but yeah, I mean, that seems about right. There's nobody who's had a besides Baez and Contreras who's had an absolutely lights out first half.
Game is a week from tomorrow night.
The home run derby is a week from tonight, and there are no Chicago players in that.
Although, I've been asked to appear in that.
Well, I'm not
available.
Well, I know. You're busy. You got to be here.
I got to get up.
It would have been nice. And Rick Renteria was asked about this on Saturday, but Eloy Jimenez, Vlad Guerrero Jr. is in. I don't know. I mean, I think fans would have gotten a kick out of
seeing Aloy. I would have loved seeing
Aloy in there.
Yeah.
Maybe next year.
Frankly, I'm glad he's not going.
Yeah, you know what? It's not
a lot of guys don't just screw their swings.
It's not necessarily a good thing.
And then this, the Georgia mansion that was used in Gone with the Wind is up for auction. The auction bids for the home will begin on July 4th, this week, at $1 million. The live auction begins on July 25th. It's located in a town called Covington, Georgia. Has 3.1 acres of land, has a pool, a gazebo, a four-car carriage house, smells a little bit of Clark Gable and smoke. The mansion is said to be the inspiration for the novel of the same name, written by Margaret Mitchell. And that's your top six.
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I recommend it. I haven't seen Toy Story 4 yet, though, because, you know, obviously I'm concerned about the sex and the violence. but Toy Story 4 would be on the list as well, I think.
Yeah, there were a lot of little kids at the theater yesterday.
How about Yesterday?
Yes, I want to see.
Yeah, that's very good as well.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, same thing. Big news out of Blackhawks land, Andrew Shaw.
Shawzy!
Shawzy's coming back. He of the headbutt of the puck. Andrew Shaw has been traded back to the Blackhawks. I think it's a great addition. And he will be on with us this morning at 8:40.
He had a decent year last year in Montreal, and he's only 27.
Yeah, which is amazing, right?
Right. He's been around forever.
So he's 23, 24 when they made that deal.
Yeah.
So it's great to have him back.
Gives them that fire that they need.
Yeah, and you want somebody in the dressing room who's a little pain in the ass, too. And I believe that's what Shawzy could supply.
I believe the term is pesky.
Oh, is that right? I'm sure you're right. Hey, if you're considering stopping at a drive-thru, say, and picking up some breakfast this morning, and let's say the drive-thru person isn't listening so closely, and you open your bag and it's not your order, or you open your bag and they've screwed up your order, what do? Do you go back? Do you say, excuse me, this wasn't my order, or this is something that I asked you not to do and you did? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Did you not get your Diet Coke this morning?
A man in North Carolina, Mary Vanderbilt, is accusing the Hardee's fast food chain of, you ready, violating his civil rights by shorting him on hash browns.
No.
Tommy Martin is 58 and should know better, lives in Mount Holly, North Carolina. He's suing Hardee's. He said he was given only 2 hash rounds on his breakfast platter on May 30th. A photo of the dish on the restaurant's website shows at least a dozen hash rounds normally given. I mean, think, anything could have happened. I mean, the kid who normally puts the hash rounds on the plate, maybe he had to text somebody. Something could have come up.
Doesn't know how to count.
I don't know how this violates your civil rights. This violates your hash brown rights. Which I don't believe has been tested in court yet.
Because we're all created equal, and dang it, we need our hash browns.
Right?
Hash rounds.
Hash
what
rounds.
Are those, like,
those
little
are even
tater
more
tots?
Important.
Yeah, kind of.
Oh.
Yeah, and a kind of tater tot.
Never had one of those little hash rounds.
Martin's a black man, and he told the Charlotte Observer he believes the tater shorting was racially motivated. That's my favorite
Sorry.
Part.
That's just funny.
He said he was the only non-white person dining or working at the Hardee's. You know, if that's how your racism is exhibited, I guess that's a good thing. Yeah. Because if you're a full-on racist and you decide you're going to short somebody in that regard, it's probably the least harmful way to do it. No lawyer is on this quite yet, but you know they'll find somebody. And then we'll wait for the judge to throw this out. I would suggest possibly you just ask the Hardys to, you know, maybe do a better job next time you're in. This story, however, is not over. In the lawsuit, Martin said he was teary-eyed by the time he got home and he decided to do something. He reported the incident to police and said he now suffers from cybophobia. You know what cybophobia is?
Cybophobia?
C-I-B-O-phobia.
The fear of not getting enough hash browns?
Kind of. It's the fear of food.
Mm.
Spokesperson at Hardee's released a statement saying it takes allegations seriously, but's declining to comment since the lawsuit is on an independently owned and operated franchise. In other words, we don't want no part of this. Hardee's is aware of the lawsuit, which alleges against civil rights were violated.
I think what we need to do is do an undercover investigation and start sending people into that Hardee's, ordering hash browns, and see what happens.
And people of all color.
All races.
Yeah. Yeah. And just see what their hash round count is as they come out. A comparative analysis, because that's what we need.
I think we should spend millions on this.
You know, honestly, either get back in line and say, hey, you screwed up, could I have them? Or go inside.
Yeah.
Well, so what? Okay, take a lap.
Listen, this happened to me once at McDonald's. I didn't get the fries were just half empty. And I drove around the block. I went around the block and went back through the drive-up
right.
And said, listen, this is half empty.
Right.
And you got a new order of fries.
Yeah, it's not that hard. Done.
You don't file a lawsuit.
How does he know you didn't eat them all?
Well, he doesn't, but he gave me another order of fries.
I wonder if that happens very often.
Fry justice is what it is.
It's exactly what, potato justice.
Really hungry to go back in line.
And to bring it full circle, wasn't I in a band named Potato Justice? I believe I was.
I believe you were.
Let's come back and do the headlines next at 720 WGN.
Doctor.
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 And doctor. Well, we miss anyone?
Is Northwestern Medicine BP? Call Dr. Morse right now.
All right, 6:39, my friend Dr. Kevin Most joins us now, sponsored as always by the fine people at Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit for better health care. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How was your weekend?
It was nice, you know. It's finally hit summer, I think, but you know, these pop-up storms in the afternoon are a little unsettling, but for the most part, got to play a little golf and spend some time with my brother, so it was nice.
You know, we can't always get Tom Skilling on because of the time problem in the morning, you know, because he stays up late. So if you could also run out along with your medical degree and your medical chops, if you could get a meteorological degree, that'd be helpful, and we could just call you.
Perfect.
I mean, you same have that pay? Kind of time.
Do I get the same pay?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, good.
You know what? I'll double it. All right, much to talk about as always. Temps in the 90s, humidity to match. This week it's the 4th of July. We got picnics. We got fireworks. We got heat. What do you got for us, Debbie Downer?
No, you know, it's not so much a Debbie Downer, you know, because it is. This is a big week for a lot of people. And when you look at the temperatures, it's like, okay, what can we do to make sure that we continue to have fun but keep everybody safe? Because there are some concerns when we get to the heat that we do and some of the ways that we're going to be eating and some of the ways we celebrate this week.
So definitely leave out the potato salad for hours. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, if you're going to make potato salad, put it out in the sun for a little while.
I mean, that's one of your number one things, right? Where you leave the food and how long it's out.
Absolutely. You know, if people think about it, it's like, what's the first question you say you're going to have a party? Everyone asks, what can I bring, right? What can I bring? They want to bring things to the party. So if you think about it, when it's 90 degrees and they've made a salad or they've made something, they put it in the trunk because the car is full of kids, and now they drive over the half hour to your house, that salad has been sitting in heat. And unfortunately, bacteria and viruses love moisture and heat, and that's why we end up with much food poisoning as we do much more in the summer than we do in the winter.
What are the main foods to be worried about? Anything that has a dairy base to it?
Yeah, dairy-based, and really anything, it depends on the temperature it's supposed to be kept. So if you have a hot meal, keep it warm. And if you have something that's supposed to be cold, keep it cold. But definitely the dairy-based, cream-based salads are going to be the ones that you're going to have the biggest problems with.
Is there only one kind of food poisoning, or is this like an umbrella term as well?
Yeah, you know, we talk about that. It's like, you know, everyone blames salmonella, right? Oh, I got salmonella. You had this salad, and it caused me to have salmonella.
It's a guy I grew up with in New York, Dave. Salmonella.
Salmonella.
Yeah. The truth is there's about 250 different bacteria, viruses, and parasites that can cause food poisoning. We just throw it into one bucket term and call it food poisoning.
Is the treatment all the same?
Treatment's pretty much the same for the most part. For the most part, it's going to run its own course, right? All our goal is going to be is to keep you hydrated as the body tries to clear this, whether it's a toxin or whether it's a bacteria or a virus, tries to clear the body. So as we try to clear the body, whether it's through diarrhea or through vomiting, you know, our goal is going to be to keep those fluids back in your system. So for the most part, probably 95-97% of these, you can treat them at home. You can treat them with just simple hydration. There's a few people that will have much more severe cases, need to be hospitalized, and in fact, actually, we even unfortunately have some deaths due to food poisoning.
A lot of this goes to food storage, too, right?
Absolutely. Probably the biggest thing is the storage. You know, if you think about it, okay, it's time to eat. Let's put all the food out, and it sits out for a while. So, you know, anytime you're storing it there, cold salad should be on an ice bed. So put it in your metal bowl or plastic bowl, but make sure it's sitting on ice so that it maintains a cold temperature. Because we think, oh, I prepared it right. I put it in my cooler when I brought it over, and now we set it out. So all the way from when it's prepared to when it's consumed to when you're getting rid of it, it should be kept at that temperature to minimize the chance for bacteria and viruses.
Now, Dr. Most even has grocery shopping tips for you when it comes down to how you bag them.
Yeah, you know, people, and it's good because most of the grocery stores know this, you know, keep your stuff, keep your meats away from your other things. So you'll see always the checkers putting, you know, the chicken and the meats in the separate bag, because we know that if you just took chicken or you just took meat before you cooked it, there's bacteria on that. And if you take that and you touch it to other things, it transmits that bacteria. So you really have to be careful about what you do. Even when you're preparing, if you take hamburgers out on a plate or chicken out on a plate, don't use that same plate to bring them back in. You've just taken the bacteria and the viruses that are sitting there and now put the food right back on it that you killed while you were cooking.
If you are meant to serve dishes cold, make sure they stay cold. If you're meant to serve them hot, make sure they stay hot. I mean, that all seems like common sense. Is most of this stuff common sense?
Yeah, a lot of it is common sense, you know, and a lot of it is, oh, wait, let me smell that to see if it smells okay. You know, the smell test does not tell you whether food is good. What will tell you whether it's good is, how did you keep it from when it was made until when you served it? So don't use the smell test. And really, it is. It's a lot of common sense to say, let's keep this safe as we possibly can, because the individuals consuming whatever you made have no clue how it was prepared.
You know, it is fun, though, to take something that you're not sure if it's okay and hold it up and go, smell this. What do you think?
Right. Right. Or, you know, it's the old Mikey. Let Mikey try it first.
Right.
And then you watch him for an hour.
He'll try anything. Dave?
Right. I'm super paranoid when I'm grilling about, especially like with chicken, because, Doc, we've talked about this before, and I'll take, it's a beautiful piece of chicken. It's been sitting on the grill for what seems like an hour, and I'll take it off, I'll take it in the kitchen, and I will cut into it to see if it looks even a slightly bit pink.
Like a surgeon.
Yeah, and then I'll throw it back on the grill. I just don't want to take any chances.
And Dave, you're spot on with chicken. You know, if you want a hamburger that's medium rare, okay, you can do that. Chicken, no way. The salmonella will stay alive, so you really need to make sure that you do cook chicken fully. So chicken is the one that probably gets the worst rap, and rightly so, because the bacteria content in chicken is so high.
And if you do get sick, again, have yourself a couple of days of being a brat, right? The brat diet?
Correct. You know, you start with clear liquids just because you're throwing up, and then you finally get to a point where, okay, I'm not doing that. Don't jump back into the pizzas and the whatever for your food. We start on something called a BRAT diet. Very simple. Bananas, rice, applesauce, toast. very simple foods, easy for the stomach to digest them. So don't go jumping back into regular food, or you're going to end up causing the cycle of vomiting and nausea again.
All right. So when we come back, let's talk about blowing your fingers off.
Sure.
All right. Fireworks. Doc's even got some words about that. Stand by. More with Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Relentless in their pursuit of better health care. You, our regular listeners, know that Doug Most and I are kind of fond of golf, and congratulations to our friend Tom Byram. Nice comeback after a rough first round in the Senior Open. Finished the weekend well. And our buddy Chris Smith, not so much Thursday, Friday, but he'll be back.
He definitely will be back. You know, it's it was great for him. He had the honor of hitting the first tee shot, being the probably the most prominent player from the state of Indiana, which was a nice honor for him. I know he's disappointed, but yeah, he'll be back. Just wait. You'll see some good things out of him. And yeah, Tom was pretty happy. We touched base with Tom after he finished and had a nice fourth round there to really move up quite a few spots. So good for him.
Later today, I will be at the beautiful, legendary Medina Golf Club for the BMW. And the media day is today. And we want to remind everybody, the Evans Scholars would love your support. Aren't you an Evans Scholar?
I was very fortunate to receive an Evans Scholarship to the University of Kansas, and my brother to the University of Missouri. So the Most family has been richly rewarded by the Evans Scholars Foundation, and they're great friends of mine.
And would you recommend caddying as a gig?
Oh, my gosh, yes, 100%. I'll tell you, caddying is the best job in the world for young kids. They're outside, they're exercising, they get to interact with adults, they learn the value of money, they learn the value of hard work. It's great. I had a great little caddy yesterday.
You mean literally little? The guy was like 10, 11 years old, right?
Yeah. His, Joe Willie, who we called him, his name was Joe, we called him Joe Willie, but yeah, he was 4'9". Going into seventh grade from Visitation. And great, great kid, great caddy, really had a great attitude, and it's a great job. Wouldn't you rather have your kids outside exercising, learning right. how to interact with adults, making some money, learning a game, than sitting on the couch playing video games?
Yeah, and that's the thing, because kids have a obesity rate problem like we've never seen, and the incidence of heart disease in young people is crazy high.
And you know what? There's a whole bunch of kids who are very fortunate to get the Evans Scholarship as well. So, I mean, you're talking about, you know, kids coming out of college with debt. You know, I had zero debt coming out of undergrad. I had debt coming out of medical school, but zero debt coming out of undergrad because of the generosity of the Western Golf Association.
And the BMW, one of the main charitable supporter arms there is the Evans Scholar Foundation. So you just Google up Evans Scholar, you'll see more of what we're talking about. All right, let's continue. It's fireworks time, and a lot of places have their fireworks this weekend. A lot more will have them this week. Is it as simple as don't blow your fingers off, or do you have more specific advice?
Well, you know, probably the biggest thing is great organized municipal fireworks are wonderful. The ones that we really get concerned about are the ones you're going to do on your street and in your backyard. That's where we start to see injuries and harm. You know, the state of Illinois, fortunately, one of the states that still do not allow fireworks to be sold, which many people are against. And I got to be honest with you, I'd say every physician is right there with it, agreeing that this should not be put into the hands of amateurs. Because we do see the injuries and we do see what's going on. Something as simple as sparklers. You know, little kids love them, but little do adults know that they burn at 1,800 degrees, can burn an eye, can start hair on fire, can really do some bad damage to skin. So something as simple as we're giving a 7-year-old or an 8-year-old to run around with a sparkler can cause some major damage.
And let's move to heat, because you've suffered from it. Anybody that spends a lot of time outside, whether you're engaged in sports, you're working, whatever, you need to know the difference between heat exhaustion, heat stroke, and how to take care of yourself. So tackle that for me.
Yeah. Heat exhaustion, you know, the whole spectrum of heat-related illness is large. I'm just going to throw them into two easy buckets. So heat exhaustion is that time when you've been outside, you're sweating, you start to feel maybe a little nauseated, a little bit of a headache. those are the times now that your body is telling you, you are not keeping up with how much fluid you're losing. The body is going to try to sweat. And as long as it's sweating and the relative humidity is low enough, you are going to be able to cool your body. If it gets to a point where that cooling mechanism doesn't work, that's when we start to get concerned. And you're going to go from heat exhaustion, which can be treated at locally, put the person in a cool environment, fan them down, get their excess clothes off, put some cool towels on them, blow air on them. That can be treated at home. The ones that we get concerned about is a heat stroke, which is an absolute emergency because at that time the body has decided, I'm not going to help myself cool down anymore. You're going to need you need professional help. Skin is dry, very flushed. Patient often seems very agitated and confused. But dry skin, dry hot skin is something that we are very concerned about.
How do you know you're headed for that, that you've passed go when you're headed for that form of danger?
Yeah, the bad thing is, in the early part, you can kind of understand it yourself. You're sweating in that. The bad part is when you start to tip over to heat stroke, your mind does not work as well. So you don't even see that. You don't even notice it now. You're not sweating. So that's probably the biggest thing is hopefully you're with someone else that's looking at that. And this is the one thing we have to look out for each other at this time. You know, you go to festivals, you're outside. Go ahead and spend that $2 or $4 for a bottle of water, even though it's you're not going to like it, because really you would rather try to keep up with your water loss and your dehydration than to suffer from this.
If you get to that point and you are alone, recognize the problem's getting worse and do what?
911 if you're by yourself, to be honest with you. Or the most important thing you can do is get into a cool environment. You know, we're talking about temperatures now today, in the 90s? I don't know what the humidity is going to be, but I'm sure it's going to be high, so our cooling mechanism isn't going to work well. Pick the right times of the days to be out to do activities. Interesting, in France, I think I heard today, Orion said that France hit 114 degrees.
Wow.
You know, so we're nowhere near that, but I can tell you when you get into the 90s with a relative humidity in those upper 80s, the cooling mechanism for our body doesn't work well. So don't pick that time to go cut the grass. Don't pick that time. You know, if you're going to play golf, play early, play late. Don't play during the middle of the day.
All good advice from Dr. Kevin Most. We have a couple of texters. Says the ashes from sparklers and other fireworks could kill animals if ingested as well. So clean up after yourself. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, you know, the magnesium in that can. And also, the other thing is you have to do, too, with pets. Think about pets and how their hearing and how sensitive their hearing is. You know what? If you're going to be blowing off fireworks, you're going to do that. Put your dog inside. Put some music on. Let them hear something else besides these loud noises. Not only does it petrify a lot of animals, it really can damage their hearing. So, yeah, I mean, we talk about looking out for humans, but let's look out for our pets as well.
Yeah, be careful what music you play, too, though. I mean, you know, certain music could damage your dog, like the ABBA. Stuff, that type of thing. And then one more. It says 815. Could Cochran talk more about golf? Riveting radio. Well, I'd like to, but we're out of time.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry we disappointed you, but we'll try to get more golf in next week.
Yeah.
One more texture, 708. I don't sweat. Is something wrong?
Well, you probably do sweat. You may not notice it, to be honest with you. We sweat all during the day today, so excess sweating is when you're outside. But we all are losing fluid through our skin. It's keeping our body cool. It's the only way it happens. We just don't notice that it's happening. But people that really don't sweat and can't sweat, there's a medical condition for that, and they really need to be careful and use other methods to keep themselves cool.
Yeah, you don't have to be pitted out to be sweating, right?
Correct. Okay. Yep.
And let's leave it on that attractive note.
Yeah.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Dr. Kevin Most is going to go handle the fine people at Northwestern CDH and at Marion Joy. And thank you for everything you're doing.
You got it, man. Talk to you guys soon.
See you later. That's Dr. Kevin Most. Check out the latest edition of the Steve Cochran Everything podcast. Last week's guest was the Murr from Impractical Jokers. Go to WGNRadio.com or use the WGN Radio app. Steve Rzanich in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. On WGN Radio next.
In 2017, a clandestine U.S. government program had been investigating UFOs.
The Pentagon has confirmed the existence of the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program that studied UFOs, and they released video.
Oh, my God.
For
8 years, the secret program was run by this man, Lou Elizondo.
Time and time again, we were coming up with these mystery objects performing in a way that defies logic.
Frustrated by what he says was a cover-up, Elizondo quit and joined forces with an elite group of former government insiders.
We're going to figure out how to get to the bottom of it.
Now they have one mission: to expose what they say is the truth about UFOs.
It was raining UFOs. I put my entire career and future on the line because I believe in what I believe in.
Christopher Mellon will join us in just a second. Private equity investor, political commentator, chair of the science committee at the Carnegie Museum of Natural History. Been around Capitol Hill doing amazing things like the past 20 years. Now, Steve Grzanich, feel free to chime in on this because you're the official alien of the show. We know you're not one of us. We know you're from outer space, but we believe you're a friend, not a foe.
Thank you. And I've been watching the series and like it a whole lot. And it's not necessarily about aliens. So I'm interested in the conversation this morning.
Mr. Mellon, good morning.
Good morning.
How do we know you're not from another planet, Mr. Mellon?
Well, you wouldn't be alone in thinking that. We get a lot of speculative theories. This really, unfortunately, there's this tendency to think UFOs and automatically connect that with aliens. And we really do underscore that unidentified means unidentified. So,
They're not weather balloons, are they?
No, they're certainly not. They're maneuvering at high speed, and they're absolutely baffling in terms of the technology. We don't understand how they maintain lift. We don't understand the propulsion. We don't understand how they maneuver. It's a real head scratcher for our aerospace engineers.
How long has this been going on in regards to the flood of UFOs that previously were not admitted by the government?
There was what happened was when we upgraded some of our fighter aircraft to these new, vastly more powerful radars, we began to have a far greater number of incidents. So we don't know how long this has been going on. It seems to be a case in which it was probably going on more extensively for a longer period. And beginning in 2015 is when we really started having this surge of encounters and reports.
The technology that we believe we see when pilots have witnessed what they've witnessed, no chance another country has this that we don't?
It is a possibility. We're keeping maintaining an open mind, and I say we, not just my colleagues on the unidentified who are investigating this phenomenon, who include a former senior Boeing Skunk Works aerospace engineer, but DOD and the Defense Department and the intelligence community itself. We maintain good relationships with lots of folks in the community, and it's really baffling to all concerned, and I think people need to keep an open mind, and what we really need is more data to bring this picture into focus.
Steve?
Mr. Mellon, thank you for being on this morning. I've been watching the program, as I mentioned, and I think it's really well done. Notion that perhaps this is something other than aliens, I think, is important. In the last episode, you talked about why that's important, and it's actually showing a little bit of promise because you've been able to meet behind closed doors with lawmakers on this. What can you tell us about those meetings, and what are lawmakers concerned about?
Yeah, thanks for asking that. They're playing a crucial role, even though at this point they're trying to stay out of the press and the limelight. They are taking the information on board. They have been meeting with some of the pilots and making inquiries to the Pentagon, which is establishing a level of accountability in the Pentagon, which is ultimately helping the combat pilots and the frontline personnel. So they're playing a vital role, but they're still concerned about the stigma. And so they don't want to hold open public hearings, or they're not giving, releasing much in the way of press statements. But this does represent very serious progress, and their involvement is critical to helping to get the Pentagon bureaucracy moving.
I personally come from a set of beliefs. I grew up in the 70s, and was a kid during the space program and all the magic of that. And knowing what we know about our small corner of the universe, I think it's incredibly egotistical or narrow-minded to believe that we're the only ones out there. Having said that, if there are others with more advanced technology than us and they keep visiting, why don't they make themselves known? Is there anyone that has a theory on that?
Yeah, there are some theories on that. So let me step back for a moment and just point out that if another race arose in our galaxy, say after 10.5 billion years of evolution in the 14 billion year old universe, even if they were not able to travel faster than the speed of light, they could have crisscrossed our galaxy hundreds of times already. So there is no theoretical reason why there could not be alien probes, for example, artificially intelligent devices that have reached our planet. In theory, that's entirely feasible, even within our present understanding of physics. So we do try to keep an open mind on all of those topics. One theory as to why unfortunately, the theories get a little bit dark when you start asking why they're so elusive and not showing themselves. It could be, if they are indeed from off-planet, that, they're merely observing. Some people say, well, do you talk to the animals when you go to the zoo? You know, why would they want to interact with us? Maybe they're so much more highly advanced, they don't see any point in conversation. Or maybe they have some agenda, and they're doing some reconnaissance, and, perhaps not with our best interests in mind. But this all gets highly, highly speculative and can actually impede efforts towards progress when we start talking too much about these more esoteric theories instead of really pushing hard on the data.
Is there a push now in government because of the reveal that's gone on to try to get to the bottom of this, and how much should we be doing?
Well, I'm happy to report that actually there are new efforts being made, and there is some momentum building. It's astonishing to me, and we talk about this on the show, it seems almost inconceivable, yet it's true, that we've had intelligently controlled aircraft violating restricted military airspace for years, and absolutely nothing was done about it. The Secretary of Defense was not informed. The Congress was not informed. The intelligence community was not reporting on this. And the base commanders simply resorted to issuing flight warning statements for the aviators on the base, saying beware of potential mid-air collisions up there. And so the system was absolutely paralyzed. And it's with all of the understandable concern over what's going on at the southern border, you would think that we in America today, if the Russians or Chinese were violating our airspace on a regular basis, surely we would do something about it. When we're spending $700 billion a year on defense, and we think we're the most technologically advanced nation in the world, and yet the system was absolutely paralyzed. And that's largely what our show is about, was motivated by a desire to overcome that paralysis by giving the frontline military personnel themselves a chance to tell their stories.
Amazing. Steve.
The show focuses a lot, and you've talked a little bit about the military aspect and the interactions with the military, but this has been happening in civilian airspace. We had an incident here in Chicago back in 2006 where O'Hare shut down for a brief period of time because there was something in the airspace. How big of a threat is this to the civilian air traveler?
Thankfully, there have not been any actual collisions that we know of. There is a gentleman in the private sector, a former pilot, who maintains a database of reported near misses. And there's a surprisingly large number of these, but thankfully there's never been an actual collision resulting in fatalities. The Navy personnel have filed at least one safety flight report after one of these objects split a formation of Navy fighters passing between two jets within about 100 feet of their wingtips. In terms of the civilian side, there is a considerable amount of information out there that, as was the case in the O'Hare incident, is very, very credible. We've tended to emphasize the military in part because that's where our backgrounds are, but also because the military has a credibility that is unmatched. And they have technology that is unmatched to corroborate what the pilots are seeing. So we felt this is putting the strongest foot forward, emphasizing what our men and women in uniform are encountering.
What's your theory? I mean, can you separate yourself from the science and the investigation to give a theory?
know, I think I'm very reluctant to do that. I will say that I think there are probably multiple phenomena going on. We see enough distinct different kinds of vehicles and different patterns of behavior that there's probably more than one explanation lurking behind this complicated phenomenon.
The inability of Congress to do anything, does that make it more dangerous? Or is this not a legislative issue?
They're beginning to mobilize it. They need to, you know, frankly, invest more time. What's happening thus far is encouraging, but they have a role to play because the executive branch itself is full of these different stovepipe agencies that are not sharing information. We have pieces of the puzzle that reside in a variety of different agencies in the intelligence community, the Defense Department, in civilian agencies, and nobody is pulling these pieces together. Nobody's in charge across the board. It would be like trying to conduct an investigation of those bombings a couple of years ago in Texas without anybody who was able to pull data from different jurisdictions to help solve the case. And Congress is really the only organization that's likely to be able to put pressure on the bureaucracy, crack the whip on them a little bit, to force these different organizations to collaborate.
It's an amazing bit of information and time, and the History Channel thing's exceptional. This Friday is the season finale. But, Steve, I assume we can binge watch this?
Oh, absolutely. If you have DirecTV or any of the other services, it's on demand. And oftentimes they'll run an episode immediately after the old one. So it's all there for you to watch.
And thanks to Ashley for helping hook this
up. I'll give you a teaser on the next episode. My colleagues Tom and Lou visit with a NATO ally, and they share some of their experiences, and they're pretty incredible.
Chris Millen, thank you for coming on. I hope we can bother you again, unless, again, you're on your own planet.
Okay. Listen, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Steve, I noticed you had some special handshake thing that you were trying to do, like an air handshake with him.
You know, the idea that there's stuff in our airspace and that there's a stigma about pilots being able to talk about something that they're seeing when they have a plane, you know, full of 200 people just is beyond me. I mean, if there's something there and it could potentially be a threat, why aren't we talking about it?
Well, and it seems very 1950s to me to say, oh, we don't want to panic people in this country. No, go ahead, panic us.
Yeah, this is one of those things we want to be panicked about, right?
So, interesting guy for sure. Yeah. And again, Friday Night History Channel is the season finale, but if I were you, I'd watch the whole thing.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by MegaPros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the most valuable person on the planet.
Who likes mowing their lawn? Raise your hand. Oh, wait, it's radio. Just tell me if you do.
I like that.
Find it therapeutic?
I do. It's good exercise.
My husband won't let me mow the lawn anymore.
Because he likes it?
He says I can't do the pattern. I'm like, what does that mean?
The pattern?
Oh, yeah. You know how he has to have it.
Oh, Steve's got to get
a... You got to go back and forth, or you do it in a square so that you have the... Right, exactly.
Square.
Steve's got to get a hobby.
Yeah, I got to do it when he broke his arm 1 year, but that was it.
Dave, you like mowing the lawn?
I used to like mowing the lawn. I don't mow it much anymore.
Not me either. Super Joe, you like mowing the lawn?
Take it or leave it.
When I was a kid, we had literally a 70 by 50 yard field that my father mowed and turned into like a base place where we could play baseball and stuff. And then my brother and I would have to mow it. Now, eventually there was a ride on lawnmower, which made it a little easy, but it was more than once we mowed it with a push mower, 70 by 50 yards. It's a lot of grass.
That is a lot.
Taking you 2 days.
Takes a long time. And
you got to start again.
And it's amazing to me when I heard the story for this morning's most valuable person on the planet, Rodney Smith Jr. He's mowed lawns for free in all 50 states. All 50 states. 5 times. Now he's doing it for veterans, and he is the most valuable person on the planet. Good morning, Rodney.
Well, how you guys doing?
You're unbelievable.
I'm unbelievable.
Raising Men Lawn Care Service, an organization designed to promote community awareness for the future boys and girls of this country aged 7 to 17, a union of an ordinary yard maintenance service and a commitment to establish an inspiring program to keep kids on the right path and now you're doing this for vets. Are you got a system? How do you mow lawns that much? How do you mow them that fast? What's wrong with you?
I'm not sure what's wrong. I've been diagnosed yet, but yeah, just a colon. I mean, it started when I when I first left high school. I went to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and I asked God to use me as his vessel. You know, he didn't give me an answer that day, not a month later, not even a year later. It happened a few years when I came across an elderly man outside mowing his lawn, and it looked like he was struggling.
Sure.
So I pulled over and helped him out, and that night I decided I'd start mowing free lawns and for the elderly, disabled, single moms, and veterans. And ever since then, I've been doing it, and that was in 2015.
You're a good man. You are a good man. How do you support yourself doing all that free care?
I'm just trying to build up the program. I got to live at my dad's house right now, rent free. So I'm just trying to build up the program because I see it being like a big brother's, big sister's program one day, you know, because it's such a needed service everywhere. I've drove to all 50 states and everyone's saying they want a chapter of the program in their city and state. So my goal is to build it up and make that possible one day.
It's weareraisingmen.com. Weareraisingmen.com is a website. We can help you there, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, of course. Sure, you can go there, and just because it's called Raising Men Lawn Care Service, it doesn't mean we don't accept the young ladies. We do. So when the young ladies join the program, they get a Raising Women's T-shirt. So we're trying to encourage both boys and girls to get out there and make a difference one lawn at a time.
All right. So mowing for vets, mowed lawns in all 50 states five times. You're not just driving around neighborhoods looking for people that need help. They must be must have groups reaching out to you, right?
Everything through social media. So let's say when I go on my 50 states, 50 lawns tour, let's say I go to Pittsburgh. So I'll drive to Pennsylvania, right outside of Pennsylvania. I'll take a picture at the Pennsylvania sign and say, "Hello, Pennsylvania. I'm here. I'm going to be mowing in Pittsburgh. If you know any people who are elderly, disabled, single moms, or veterans who need the lawn mower for free, let me know." And people just send me lawns.
Yeah, you must have met some amazing people doing this.
Oh, yeah, man, especially when it comes to the veterans. Right? I just finished my 50-state tour for the veterans, and meeting the World War II veterans were amazing. I heard their stories. I mean, they could remember it just like it was yesterday.
And you
give me detailed
stories. And you're smart enough to listen. You do all this driving?
Oh, yeah, so I drive to 48 states, and I fly to Alaska and Hawaii. For my last tour, for my veterans tour, Delta flew me first class to my last two states, Alaska and Hawaii. So I'm grateful for them.
Well, God bless you, man. It's amazing. Amazing work you're doing, and I'm happy we could help get the word out about it because I didn't know about you till my folks told me, the staff here, that you were getting it done. WeAreRaisingMen.com on social media. How do we find you?
On social media, Rodney Smith Jr. on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Rodney Smith Jr. Google up the story as well. We got to post this story, Michael. Let's put it up at Cochran Show on Twitter and Steve Cochran Show everywhere else. You're a good man. Get back to your mower.
All right, thank you.
See you later. It's a lot of work.
That is a lot of work.
Good for him for doing it.
I've asked him how you maintain that. I mean, I got to think he goes through a few mowers, right?
I'm surprised he could hear.
Well, that
wouldn't you think 24/7 you'd hear?
It said to give the kids ear protection, is good.
But he's mowing.
Yeah, but he's mowing. But Does anyone use push mowers anymore? The non-powered mowers?
My neighbor does.
They're better in the city. Yes. In the city, you got these tiny... You ever drive around the city and you see somebody on a ride-on lawnmower and they got a lot that's like 4x4 foot yard?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So lazy. Yeah, my neighbor does the push.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't have the gas-powered lawnmower.
Yeah, I have a battery-operated lawnmower.
Battery
electric. What? Well, yeah, I mean chargeable, right?
Yeah, so it has a battery that you plug the battery. It's like it has a big battery pack, and you just charge the battery separately, and then you stick it in the little thing, and it runs by battery. It runs for about an hour and a half.
Have you seen the lawn services with the lights on the mower and they mow till like 10 o'clock at night?
Yeah, and those gas powered wind leaf blowers. Boy, those things drive me crazy.
They are loud,
so loud. Oh.
But the guys on the mowers and the lawn services that mow at about 75 miles an hour, you're thinking there's no way that could be a good lawn mowing job, and they don't miss a blade.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing.
So, I don't know. It's a whole science behind it, kids, and clearly, like most things, It's beyond me. We need a break before we come back and do the headlines next. Ryan Nobles from CNN still to come, too, on 720 WGN.
Nothing will change unless we have the guts to take on Wall Street, the insurance industry, the pharmaceutical industry, the military industrial complex, and the fossil fuel industry. If we don't have the guts to take them on, we'll continue to have plans, we'll continue to have talk, and the rich will get richer, and everybody else will be struggling.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Most every Monday, our friend Ryan Nobles is good enough to give us some time before he goes off and covers every story CNN's ever had on the air. Good morning, Ryan. How are you?
I'm great, Steve. Good morning. Thanks for having me on, as always.
I know you're spending a lot of time running the road, running yourself ragged with Bernie. Does Bernie ever sound like he's not yelling?
No, he really doesn't. I think even in just regular conversations, then I think that's an example of where, you know, I actually pitched a story to CNN this week about, and the way I described it is same old Bernie. Like, the thing about Bernie is he's been the same guy that he's been for the past 40 years. That's part of why people are drawn to him. They like that consistency. But it also can be frustrating for his campaign because I think they'd probably like to kind of change him a little bit on the edges to make him more amenable to a certain crop of voters that wouldn't even be interested in him. And that style, the fact that he, you know, and I think you're referring mainly to the debate, where when he makes a point, he yells at that point, that could potentially turn some people off, and he's just not going to change. That's just how he is.
Have you ever seen him with grandchildren?
But I have not actually. Well, no, that's not true. His grandchildren were with him, I think, during one of the open. They weren't in Chicago, but I think they were in Brooklyn. He actually is very soft and has a very kind of warm sense about him when he's with his grandchildren. There's actually a couple of videos, if you look on his wife's Twitter feed and her Instagram, Jane Sanders, around Father's and Mother's Day, she has video of him playing softball and baseball with the grandkid in the backyard. And it's actually pretty funny to see him there, you know, just as an average grandpa in love with his grandkids. He certainly is. He brings his grandkids up a lot on the campaign trail.
It'd be funny if he had game, wouldn't it? If he was like all stick, no glove, or the other way around.
He's surprisingly athletic. He, you know, he plays basketball quite a bit. The other thing too about him is he's in remarkable shape for somebody his age.
Absolutely.
He's skinny. He moves quickly. His energy appears to be limitless. I was with him this weekend. I think he did six different events in New Hampshire, and by Sunday night, the last event, that he would have slowed down. I think he spoke the longest at that last event on Sunday. He seems to, I don't know where this energy comes from, but it appears to be limitless.
So he, Trump, and Biden, 100-yard dash, who you got?
That's a good question. I wouldn't count Bernie out. You know, right. He's not fast necessarily, but he would definitely might have the most stamina of the three. I can't believe we're having this conversation. Getting from start to finish, he'd be like the turtle. You know what I mean? Maybe the other two might get out quicker, but Bernie would be there at the end, I think.
Trump at 60 yards would wait for the limo to pick him up, take him the rest of the way. Biden would stop and say hi to everybody, and Bernie would win.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, it's funny you say that because I marched in a pride parade with him in Nashua on Saturday, and he's not one of these politicians that kind of runs back and forth to either side and shakes hands. He stays in the middle and waves. So he's all about getting to that destination. That's Bernie's MO.
Hello, hello, hello. it's Ryan Nobles from CNN. All right, over the weekend, the President of the United States sidled up to the leader of Saudi Arabia, who all of our intelligence agencies say absolutely signed off on the murder of an American journalist or a journalist who worked for the Washington Post here in America. He also spent some quality time with Vladimir Putin joking about election interference and then had a little dessert when he did a bro hug of sorts with Kim Jong-un and was the first American president to set foot in what is North Korea. You can't make it up. And yet we get up on a Monday morning and we go, oh, yeah, well, that's Trump. What is the word inside Washington on this?
I think there's a lot of people scratching their heads, particularly on the North Korea situation, as to what comes next. By all accounts, this decision by President Trump to go to the DMZ and invite Kim Jong-un down was very improvisational. It was one of these things where at the last minute, Trump suggested that he do it, put it on his Twitter feed. you know, they put some sort of entries out to the North Koreans to see if Kim Jong-un would be interested in it. But there was nothing tied to it other than the photo op. And, you know, I don't think we can understate the value of the photo op. I think it was certainly significant that a president took this step. But I think what you're hearing a lot of people say in the foreign relations field in Washington is, okay, that's great, but what does it mean? And if you saw the New York Times article this morning, they're suggesting that perhaps one of the potential strategies by the Trump administration would basically to create a scenario where it's a hold harmless, where we essentially recognize North Korea as a nuclear power, but then agree that they don't proliferate it any more than where it already exists. And that would be a sharp turn in American foreign policy. Now, John Bolton's already out this morning kind of poo-pooing that, saying that that's not a potential option. But I think what it shows is we don't really know what the Trump administration's plan is for that part of the world, and that includes China, you know, this whole situation with the trade negotiations there. So, you know, the photo op, Trump, nobody does a photo op better than Trump, but I think the next question is, where's the substance behind this, and what does this ultimately lead to?
Well, my biggest problem with it, aside from the fact that he did it, is because the guy's a murderer, is that I don't know what we get out of it. I mean, what's in it? What's in it for us? I mean, clearly, it's good for Kim Jong Un and his little murderous thug family and friends. But what's in it for us?
Right. Well, it's funny you mention that because if I go back through all of my time covering Bernie Sanders, I think the only time that he's ever complimented Donald Trump on any level is that he does give him credit for opening up a channel of communication with Kim Jong-un, but then, you know, takes it a step further and talks about how he's disappointed in the lack of substance, and also that it seems to be that President Trump saddles up to these authoritarian leaders. He seems to be willing to have conversations with them, but then doesn't want to do it with other different groups and puts up a big wall. I think there's a bunch of things that the administration would say that there's a benefit to. I think one of the biggest things pushing the Trump administration to get involved in these negotiations is the South Korean government. You know, the Moon administration is very much open to some sort of a reconciliation with North Korea. They are sick of kind of this Cold War that's taken place on that peninsula for some time, and they're one of our biggest allies in the region. So I think that, you know, I don't think that this would happen if there wasn't that push from South Korea. And, you know, I do think that President Trump's perspective on all of this is, we've tried this kind of isolation policy with North Korea where we've strangled them in terms of economic resources and sanctions. You know, that's been the MO for the past 40 to 50 years, and it hasn't worked. We got to try something different. So, you know, Donald Trump's MO is, let's try something different. But I think you're correct in the criticism that what he's done up until this point is given everything that Kim Jong-un wants. He wants to be recognized on a global stage. He wants to be able to shake hands with the President of the United States. That empowers him with his hermit kingdom, where all they know is that Kim Jong-un is like some divine cult of personality. And at this point, there's no evidence at all that he's given the United States anything in return. And I think that's why you're seeing this push. Like, what's next? What are you actually getting out of it?
Yeah, and I'll let you go on this. There is considerable talk that the staff was completely surprised by the tweet, "Hey, Kimmer, why don't we meet at the border and hang out?" And then once he put it out in public, they were forced to follow through. Is there any reason to believe that story?
Well, we do know that kind of the main diplomatic point of contact in the White House and in, with North Korea did have some sort of, you know, behind-the-scenes secret negotiations to make this happen. The timing of all of that, whether it came before or after the tweet, we don't know. But we do know it was within pretty short order, like the last week or so. This isn't something that's been planned for months. But to your point about how a good part of his national security apparatus was completely clueless about it, John Bolton wasn't even there. He'd already moved on to Mongolia because he had has a pretty robust plan. And, you know, you can take that for what it's worth. Was it because he already had planned to go somewhere else, or was it because the president was purposely freezing Bolton out of his negotiations because Bolton tends to be more of a hawk on these issues? So it just kind of lends itself to this idea of a little bit of chaos and diplomacy shooting by the hip from the hip with this president, because it doesn't appear that everybody in his administration was on the same page. And like everything with Trump, if he wants to do something, he just goes and does it. And I think that's what we saw here this week.
It's the great Ryan Nobles, off covering everything that needs to be covered today. See him on CNN and follow him on social media. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week and a happy 4th of July.
Yeah, and to you as well.
And now, it's time for Super Joe's White Sox trivia question.
Yes, Super Joe is here with the White Sox trivia question.
Which can answer Super Joe's White Sox trivia question correctly, and you can win White Sox tickets.
That's right. A family of four-pack tickets to see the White Sox and the Marlins Monday, July 22nd at 7:10. And every Monday right around this time, we try to give you these tickets. And once in a while, we even have time for Super Joe to ask the question he carefully prepares all weekend. Usually put together like 100 questions. You boil it down to one. Is that right?
More like a million.
What is today's question, Super Joe?
So most White Sox fans are pretty excited for the first part of the double dip on Wednesday, where Dylan Cease will make his major league debut. What team, what minor league affiliate has Dylan Cease been pitching for all season long?
What minor league affiliate has Dylan Cease been pitching with all season long? He has game one or game two on Wednesday?
Game one.
Game one on Wednesday.
Here's a hint, by the way. If you were listening to the sports at 7:30, you heard this.
No. Seriously?
Yes.
Oh, Mr. Peabody, if I only had a Wayback Machine. All right, first correct caller, 312-981-7200. You will be a big winner. Stories of Matter with Steve Krasanich right now in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio, where you can win the ultimate White Sox family reunion. I'd listen in the next 30 minutes pretty carefully if I were you.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey.
Sponsored by Ravinia. Super Joe, tell me again, who won the White Sox tickets?
That would be Howard from Wheeling.
Oh, good old Howard from Wheeling, Dean, was a big winner. You know Howard from Wheeling?
He's on the phone.
You know Howard. Howard from Wheeling. You know him, don't you, Dean?
Good old Howard. He's the one that walks like this.
That's right.
Indeed.
Just the way you're walking right now. You're outside today.
I am. I'm cooking up a storm, like we like to do here every once in a while. I'm making a whole bunch of different pizzas. I made a grilled Hawaiian pizza earlier, which is prosciutto and pineapple.
Okay.
I made a grilled chicken and bruschetta pizza. Also, what else did I make? Oh, I made a turkey sausage and vegetable pizza, all grilled, so everything's got a nice smoky taste on it. And I just made a bacon cheeseburger that's served on a glazed donut.
So that is obviously healthy.
Super healthy. With every burger, we have a cardiologist that comes along with you while you eat it, just to be on the safe side. Thank you, Dr. Kevin Most, for volunteering.
It's very, very good. That's very good of Kevin.
Very nice of him, yeah.
Do you actually just slice the glazed donut and slap the burger on it, or is there more to it?
It's a regular glazed donut, but it's, can you hear the WGN helicopter behind me right now?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Are they trying to fly someone to the hospital after having one of those?
We've had several people have to go to the hospital after the bacon.
Some folks are going down.
It's a regular bacon cheeseburger, and then you slice a glazed donut, like from Dunkin' Donuts or someplace like that. It's really good. I'm also making stuffed burgers. I like my burgers with the cheese in it, mm-hmm. not on it. So when I make the patties, I make them a little on the thin side. I put a big dollop of whatever kind of grated cheese that I want. I made some with gorgonzola and sharp cheddar this morning, but you can put whatever you want. And then you put another thin burger on top of that and sort of fuse the two together and put it on the grill. And then when you bite into the burger, this melted cheese is just fantastic. fantastic.
So all of this food that you're making is eaten by the overpaid on-air talent at WGN, yeah. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, this is the only time that I actually see all the people that work here at WGN. Otherwise, they avoid me like the plague, as you can imagine. But today I'm everybody's best friend with the pizzas and the grills.
You okay? You didn't go down, did you? Is everything all right,
yeah,
Dean?
No, I'm. somebody like said, let's grill by. Okay, somebody's looking at me. I asked for somebody to fix the grill because I have two grills and one of them just died. I'm doing like every mime thing to motion to him while I can still talk to you. What's going on here? But he wasn't getting it. Anywho, so yeah, I'm about to do a classic margarita pizza. I'm about to do a Italian sausage pizza and some grilled pizza bread. Not on like traditional. Like a pizza crust, but more like on an Italian bread where you make it like pizza and kind of bake it in aluminum foil. And it's yummy goodness, afterwards.
Now here, when we have food here at the radio station, generally speaking, the news people and the engineers swoop in like hawks, even more so than the salespeople. Now, I know the news people and the producers there are like the people at the bottom of an ancient ship that are rowing when there's a fire behind them and someone's yelling, stroke, stroke, stroke. Do they get to eat the free food or does it all go to the talent?
No, everybody. In fact, I try to make sure that the non-talent gets first dibs on it.
So Larry will come over and you'll slap his hand?
Yeah, I actually cut him with a knife earlier because he's aggressive. that Larry is aggressive.
No question about it.
Is non-talent really the correct term?
That's close. what are you going to do? It's close.
It's an industry term. People who are on the air and people who are not on the air. It's probably a nicer way to put it.
Now, I know...
Leave it to Dave to be nice to somebody.
Right, of course.
I'm sorry, Dean.
How dare you? You know, the big news of the day seems to be Taylor Swift's anger, so we'll bring that up because you don't want to make the Swiftie angry. And we got some other things to talk about, including the Pride Parade from yesterday. So more coming with Dean, who's up to his hands, arms, wrists, and elbows in food this morning as he's grilling it up at Channel 9. Stand by, Dean. More for you in a moment.
Sox win!
The White Sox family reunion on WGN Radio. Does this sound familiar?
Lucas Giolito, you come from a family of actors. You're in show business, but you had no interest in that show business.
I didn't really get the acting bug. For me, like being on stage and trying to remember lines in front of people is like terrifying and not fun. But playing baseball in front of thousands of people is really fun. So they still get pretty excited about the sports stuff. You know how it is, like people in sports, like they want to be actors and musicians, and the actors and musicians want to be athletes. So it goes both ways.
There it is, your official clue to call. Be caller 20 now at 312-981-7200.
312-981-7200.
Score Sox tickets and be qualified to win the White Sox family reunion. A private suite with room for 20 guests to see the Sox play in July. Caller 20 right now, 312-981-7200.
Calling his name, Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 9720.
Well, before we return to the grill, let's get ourselves a winner. Elaine in Brookfield, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
You are qualified for the White Sox family reunion.
Yay! Woo!
Now, do you have 20 family members or 19 family members that you like?
I do, and all White Sox fans.
Wow.
Good morning, everybody.
Sound like you're the perfect winner.
Yeah, I hope so. Awesome.
In the meantime, you have won tickets to an upcoming White Sox game, 4 tickets for that, and there's still a couple more chances for you to qualify. And then Rokon and Anna will announce you as the winner later, I hope.
All right, I'm ready.
Thank you for listening, Elaine.
Thank you. Have a great, July. Happy July, everybody.
Happy July 1st. That's right. Happy Monday. Happy July 1st. All right, let's go back to Dean now, live at the grill.
You're talking about that.
I'm talking about
Progress Under Blast. I'm going to be hosting that on WGN TV on Thursday night, on the 4th of July night. I'll be down at Navy Pier. If you'll remember last year, a torrential downpour happened, and I was nearly drowned.
Well, I know that you nearly drowning was big news, but most people are still concerned why you stole the job from Paul Conrad and me.
You're out of it. Yeah.
Oh. What?
Who's talking to you?
That's a stagehand telling me why the grill's not working.
Okay, could you just mention we're on the air now? If you could just hang out for a second?
Yeah, I know. If Steve Shapiro from Apt is listening, if you could just get a couple of Apt grills over here stat, that would be great. Because these ones that we used when Bob Bell worked here are not working out very well this morning.
So you have a grill and a backup grill or just one grill?
No, I have two grills because I use both. I got a lot of food going here at the same time. So, but you know, one of them's not working, and we're not 100% sure why. And you know, my motto when it comes to using propane gas, any chance that you could take is a wise one.
Sure, sure. Have you considered a bonfire and a stick?
There may be a bonfire here soon. I'm not sure.
All right. Let me move on to a couple pieces of entertainment news. Big movie of the weekend. Was the Beatles movie a surprise hit?
It did okay, but the Toy Story was the number one movie again. Not a big surprise.
And I think I'm going to take Abigail Grace to see that possibly as soon as tomorrow if her parents clear that.
Yeah, and if Abigail Grace is a Beatles fan, I would recommend that other movie as well. Yesterday, it did okay. I don't have the box office numbers here with me at the grill, but it turned up in the top five, which is, you know, respectable.
Taylor Swift is mad.
So here's the deal. When Taylor Swift was just a little kid, she wrote all these songs, became a big hit superstar, and when she was 15 years old, signed away the rights to all of her music. Up until that time, it was purchased by a small record company. But, you know, she was 15. She was like, hey, this is a good deal. But now that music library of Taylor Swift, her videos, her likenesses during that time, have all been purchased by a guy named Scooter Braun, who is the manager for Justin Bieber, Ariana Grande, Demi Lovato, Kanye West, among others. He's a huge, big deal with a lot of people, but not Taylor Swift, who says that he incessantly bullied her and intimidated her and was not a nice person to her, and she's beside herself that now the rights to her are owned by this guy. So she put out a big tweet about it yesterday. Justin Bieber has come to the manager's defense saying, hey, you talk smack about my friend, you're talking smack about me. So now there's some big war going on between all these spoiled brats. And that's where it is right now. Taylor Swift summarizes it all by saying, this is what happens when you sign a contract when you're 15 years old.
Right. Where were her parents?
Justin Bieber said, what's that?
Where were her parents during all that?
That I do not know, but she was 15. You know, I'm sure everybody thought it was, you know, she's 15 and she's offered a contract by a record company. I don't know too many people who are going to turn that down.
But the problem is, if you don't have proper representation, even at that point, or get a good lawyer to look at it, you end up in situations like this. Isn't this Scooter Braun the same guy that was accused of sexual assault at one point?
No, that's a different guy.
That's a different Scooter? Oh no, is a flame broken out there?
What's that?
It sounded like a fire had broken out around you, but then again, that's a good thing.
No, anything could happen out here, but no, the flame didn't burn out. I'm not aware of any sexual allegations against this guy.
Okay, all right. We're just aware of allegations that he's a jerk.
That's what Taylor Swift alleges, yes.
All right, I'm being told the guy I'm referring to is Dr. Luke Kesha's former manager. And Dr. Luke and Scooter, you could see how I confused the two.
Right, and Dr. Luke, not a real doctor, by the way, just in case you were confused.
What? See, this is why we call it Moron Entertainment. All right, listen.
That one time. Oh, speaking of Moron Entertainment yesterday, I had somebody come up to me during the Pride Parade yesterday and ask me where the Moron Entertainment float was.
Well, it was in the wrong parade, obviously.
Yeah. I told them that nobody was on it, and it was going the opposite direction of all the other floats.
It's on the Ike right now for no apparent reason.
Yeah. Right. Started its own parade.
I was concerned when the weather hit that Bozo might get wet. Was Bozo drenched?
Bozo was okay. Bozo had a really good umbrella, and he was all okay. We all did get very, very wet, just, you know, trying to get out of all that mess. But, you know, we had a good time up until it looked like we were in a scene from The Wizard of Oz and the tornado was about to hit.
Yeah, I was going to say it looked like fun. All right, I know how distracted you must be trying to cook, trying to work around people, trying to fix your grills, trying to talk to me. But that's, again, why we call this Moron Entertainment. Be well. Force yourself to continue. And as far as I know, Steve Shapiro's on the way right now with a truckload of grills.
You can't get here fast enough for my money.
It's Dean. He's cooking at Channel 9, and that's your Moron Entertainment. All right, it's 8:27, and for those of you who are participated in Pride Parade yesterday, it does look like everybody had a good time. And for those of you that got wet, I apologize. I talked to Tom Skilling about it. I said, could you hold it off till about 5? And he wasn't able to do it. And for those of you who sat around at home this weekend and were wondering, man, this must be the worst record or weather in the world right now. Turns out it wasn't. In Guadalajara, Mexico yesterday, they got 5 feet of hail. I'm pausing for people to go, no, they didn't. Yes, in fact, they did. 5 feet of hail in a freak storm, which combined torrential rainfall and hail like you'd never, ever, ever, ever seen. End of the world hail, which in spots piled up to 5 feet.
Looks like a combo of softball size and golf ball size.
Just incredible. Just incredible.
Crazy.
You can Google the photos up of this. There were cars buried. There were trucks buried. There, as Steve pointed out earlier, frighteningly, maybe animals and people buried. But that remains to be seen as this storm rolled in to Guadalajara, Mexico, and opened up the skies. And I think, Steve, you also pointed this out earlier. Thank God there's no global warming and the weather's not weird right. because of it.
Yeah, no. Listen, the hail was up to. I'm looking at a picture right now of a minivan, and the hail is up to the windows of the minivan, to the top of the windows of the minivan. That's how deep it was.
People had to be rescued from the tops of their cars because of the hail that had piled up around them. Yeah. It's just if you put it in a movie, you'd go, "Come on, it's never going to happen."
You can't open your doors. It's not like. Just something soft outside of your doors, that stuff, you know, congeals together, freezes together, and it's like opening up against a block of ice. You can't get out.
What's the weirdest weather you've ever been in? I think I mentioned last week I saw a lightning strike a sprinkler head on a golf course and explode, and it went up like Jed Clampett's backyard before he moved to Beverly Hills.
Yeah, I still, being in a tornado is probably the worst thing, sure. You know, weirdest thing. Just the way the sky turns green and the temperature changes and the weird wind, and it just feels really weird to be in a tornado.
I was at the last, and I'm sure there are people who will remember this, the last college football All-Star game at Soldier Field, would have been in the mid-70s, when a storm came up. I was in the stands at Soldier Field, and you couldn't get out. This was before they redid Soldier Field, and it was literally just, it was the heaviest rain and the hardest wind, and there were tornadoes around the area that night. They ended up canceling the football game. It was the Pittsburgh Steelers against the College All-Stars, and they never resumed the game. And they never played that game again. And it had been going on since like 1933.
Wow. Yeah. It's amazing people didn't get trampled.
I tell you what, it was really scary because you couldn't get out the exits, and the water was cascading down the rows, and everything was flooded. So you were standing in water. If there was lightning, you really would have been in trouble.
Remember the tornado that hit the St. Louis airport a few years ago?
Yeah, my son had just taken off from the airport.
I was driving back to Chicago. Mm-hmm. Coming up, whatever, to get to 55, to get to, you know, 55 north. And the storm was chasing me. And, I mean, literally, like, you could follow the fact, either on the radar, such that it existed then, or the reports, or whatever was left of daylight as the sun went down, as the storm was chasing me. It's like a monster movie. But I've never been in 5 feet of hail.
No.
5 feet.
But also, it was, like, in the 80s in Guadalajara. So how long could the hail stick around? I mean, I saw these pictures, but you would
pile it up to 5 feet, I guess it stays for a while, right?
Yeah, it stayed for quite a bit, long enough for them to get backhoes and graders in to start moving some of the stuff around. So
crazy.
Yeah.
Just crazy.
And then it probably flooded after it all melted.
That's the problem. They do have floods there. Exactly, yeah. Right.
And it's then it's 120 degrees in France.
Yeah, Once again.
That's normal.
Nothing odd going on in the weather.
Keith now along the half court. He'll scrape it in behind the Bruin net to the right wing corner. Off Shaw's stick. Hit by Seidenberg with a cross check. And then Seidenberg is pummeled by Bickle with a body check. Grossel off on the right point. Fires. He scores! Hawks win! Hawks win! In triple overtime! And somehow that one got by Kukarev. The Blackhawks lead the Boston Bruins 1-0 in the Stanley Cup Finals.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Some of the best days on this Hawks resurgent run in the last 11 to 12 years. Shawzy was here. Wouldn't it be great to have Andrew Shaw back in the Indian head sweater?
Well, yeah, but he plays for Montreal.
Yeah,
now.
I can't promise you that, right?
Right.
So what happened yesterday? I'm minding my own business. I'm not hurting anybody. Suddenly Andrew Shaw's a Blackhawk again. Ah, how great is this? And it seems like Andrew Shaw may have been on a plane when he found out. Shawzy, welcome back.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Dave. How's it going, guys?
Great. Welcome back.
Really excited about you coming back.
So am I. So is my family. It's going to be a really fun year.
Here's the thing. As I understand the story, you come to see family. You're on a plane. You're headed back to Toronto. And you find out just before everybody says, shut your phones off, that you're coming back here to stay, right?
Yeah, we were on the tarmac, just about to take off, and I got a call from Mark Bergevin and told me the news, and emotions were everywhere, and his phone shuts off, and I sat there for an hour and a half thinking, well, what's going to happen when I land? And I turned my phone on when we land, and it was all chaos. So family's excited. I'm excited. We love the city. We're excited to come back. Can't wait to get back into that Blackhawks uniform.
Have you heard from Kaner and Taves and Duncan Keith and Seabrook and the guys you played with?
Oh, yeah. They've all sent me their texts. They're all glad I'm back. They're excited to get me back in the locker room. They say that now, but I'm sure, in a couple months, they'll be annoyed if they want to turn.
Well, no, look, here's the deal. Your leadership, because look at this. I mean, when you left here, man, you were a kid. Now you're a grizzled NHL veteran, ready to come back and straighten out these kids on this team. You're ready to take that kind of leadership role, right?
Exactly. I've always looked at myself as a leader, not a follower. And even when I was young in that locker room, I felt I had a good presence, but I was surrounded with great leaders as well. And I think that's why we were so successful. And I think getting back, that's going to be a lot of fun. And I look forward to it. Can't wait for it. Like I said, emotions have been increasing. Going through the show, I was old.
Have you had any contact in the past with Jeremy Colliton? Do you know him at all?
I don't. He called me. I got a call back today. Like I said, it was a couple busy hours there traveling and getting home. But I've heard good things. The guys speak highly of him, so I look forward to playing for him.
The obvious question here is, have you worked at all to perfect the puck headbutt that you made famous?
I haven't. Once I found out they don't count, so I just kind of tossed that one to the side.
What did your family say when you told them you were coming back?
Well, they actually knew, because like I said, I got the call when I was on the tarmac, so I never even had a chance to tell them, because the plane was taking off when I finally hung up the phone with Bergevin, and when I landed, I called them right away, and like, yeah, we already know, we heard half an hour ago, but they're stoked. They're pretty excited for it, and we had five amazing years there, and my older brother lives down in Plainfield, Illinois, so it's going to be nice. They're going to get to see him more often. They're going to come down and visit, and they've always had a lot of good memories there as well.
Your wife, I'm trying to remember, is it Seanette?
Seanette, yes.
Yeah, your wife, does she, when she talks to you, go, honey, something you want to tell me? Something you maybe didn't get a chance to call me about?
Oh, she was right beside me when it happened. So
she was? Okay.
Yeah, she was a part of the whole hour and a half of
you know, life-changing moment like that.
What do you remember about that night in, I think it was early in the season in 2016, after you had gone to Montreal, when the Canadiens came into the United Center and you played against the Blackhawks for the first time?
It was an amazing feeling. I mean, to feel the love like that, you know, the respect I had there, and it was amazing. It's something I'll never forget, and it's just going to fuel me to make sure I'm ready for it. I'm going to come back and try and fill the shoes that I left there, and maybe be even a better player than I was when I left.
I remember you auctioning off something fairly unique when you were here about 5-6 years ago. Do you remember what that was?
Yeah, I took a puck in the face, 17 stitches, and yeah, we sold them off for charity to the V Foundation, and you know, it was neat, you know, to be a part of it.
I don't know if anybody's ever auctioned off facial stitches before, but I think it got $6,000-$7,000, didn't it?
Yeah, it did all right. I mean, it was something fun. We just tried to throw at, and it worked out. They were just going to go in the garbage anyway, so to raise some money up for charity like that, it's always fun.
It's pretty good garbage. When you come back, you're going to be on a team that looks, you know, quite a bit different, but there are a lot of the old guys here as well. Has Coach or Stan talked to you about what your role is going to be?
We haven't really got into that. You know, it just happened last night. Just, you know, obviously excited. They love the style of play I have, and they said they've been missing it, and you know, obviously just going to come back and be myself, play hard, play physical, go to those dirty areas. That's how I've always played, and it's how I'm always going to play.
I had told somebody after I heard the news last night that I once described you as a chihuahua. To your face, by the way. We were doing an interview, and I said, you're like a chihuahua. You don't realize your actual size, and you'll take on anybody no matter how big they are. None of that's changed, right?
It hasn't, but maybe I'm a little bit thicker of a chihuahua now. I think when I left Chicago, I was, like you said, I was a kid, and returning 3 years later, I feel more like a man. I've gotten bigger. I put on weight. I've gotten, I think, faster and stronger, so That's a dangerous combination to have that into a chihuahua, I guess.
Yeah, so you're the most dangerous chihuahua in the National Hockey League, and I look forward to seeing you, even if you are going to smack me.
No, I look forward to all the memories come back, and you overwhelm the feelings and excitement, and you know, I just look forward to you know, to a great year in Chicago.
Dave, last word.
You know, there's some young guys on this team now that you didn't have a chance to play with. But, you know, first and foremost, the name that I think people are going to be talking about going into the season is Alex DeBrincat. Now, you've had to play against him a little bit. What are your thoughts on him and where he is in his development?
I think he's an unbelievable player. You know, he's got that skill. He's got the speed. He's got a shot. He puts himself in, you know, the right positions to score goals. And I look forward to playing with guys like that, you know, on the same team as him. And, you know, doing what I can to help the team have a little bit more success.
Well, we're going to see you this summer, I know, and can't wait to do it. So congrats, man, for you and for all the Hawks fans. We're just really excited you're back.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Have a good day.
That's Andrew Shaw of the Chicago Blackhawks.
No, it's...
Once again.
Yep.
It's going to be great.
There's somebody, I think Mark Lazarus on Twitter, had a list of former players who've come back to the Blackhawks. You know, there's quite a few now. I mean, obviously, Brandon sucked, but you go back to guys like Johnny Oduya, Christopher Stieg, Andrew Ladd. And these guys have all had success with the Blackhawks in varying degrees when they've come back. But, you know, Saad bounced back last year and ended up having a decent season.
A really good second half.
You know, and Shaw's coming off his best year statistically in Montreal.
Well, I think the really smart thing the Hawks have done now, it's so weird to talk about Kane and Taves and Shaw being the old guys.
Yeah,
but they've got now a mix of guys who have won cups with kids who are just in the game, and I think it's a great mix, bringing up the kids with the winners that are already there, and I think it's gonna be a fun year.
I do too.
And convention's coming up
this month,
and you and I will do our normal Friday night party.
We will, last weekend of July.
Yep, looking forward to that, too. All right, and by the way, details on the Shaw deal and everything going on with the Blackhawks, you can always go to ChicagoBlackhawks.com. These are actual products looking for funding.
Money, please.
The Gwacky Talkie is your standard two-way radio, but it looks like an avocado.
2, 4, 9, 5, 6, 7, 8.
I can't hear you. You're trailing off. And did I catch a niner in there? Were you calling from a walkie-talkie?
The Little Colonel Locator.
Now, this is one of my favorites. I think it's very helpful, and, you know, it reminds you of fried chicken, which is never a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing at all.
Tummy likey. Tummy want wingy.
Speaking of food, let's go to item number three here. This is a pizza pocket hoodie that allows you to keep your pizza in your pocket.
Is that a rabbit in your pocket? You're just happy to see me.
Ah, big, big, big 9 o'clock hour ahead. CLTV will, of course, simulcast it. Hope you're watching. Hope you're listening. And also watching on WGNRadio.com anytime. Big Space Month. Paul Coit, by the way, I forgot to mention this coming up. Paul Coit knows nothing about baseball. He was hired this weekend to be the Q&A guy for VIPs and sponsors and things. And he called me last week in a panic because he wanted to know if I could give him everything he needed to know about baseball. Because in 3 days he would be sitting down with Bucky Dent and Chris Chambliss and a bunch of other veterans, Reggie Smith, who played for the Red Sox and the Yankees. The Red Sox and the Yankees played as baseball, Major League Baseball from here, went to Europe for the first time. So we'll get to Paul Coit coming up as well. Steve, again, you're our space guy. Steve Grzanich.
Yep, I'm here on Earth today.
Apollo 11 on July 20th will be the 50th anniversary of the landing on the moon. And we know that there were some scary moments, some close calls, long before Apollo 13. Minutes out of the moon landing, there were alarms going off. And the Apollo 11 film on CNN shows a lot of this stuff. It's pretty scary. An alarm keeps going off, and you hear the Houston Space Flight Control Center saying, is it serious? I don't know if it's serious. What do we need to do? But there's no turning back at that point.
Yeah. They were almost out of fuel, Steve. That was the alarm that was going off. They literally had seconds of fuel remaining, and Neil Armstrong was trying to land in a place where he didn't think there was a crater and where it was smooth, he thought, you know, would be a good place. Literally seconds, like 5 seconds away from being empty.
They also had frozen fuel lines, a stuck hatch, a busted switch required to leave the moon. All of that stuff has been known, but in a brand new book, there is a story, and this book is coming out tomorrow, as a matter of fact. There is a story, according to Nancy Atkinson, who wrote 8 Years to the Moon, The History of the Apollo Missions. We've got to see if we can get her on. In the research she did for the book about something that happened to Apollo 11 on its return to Earth, causing a discarded space module to nearly crash into the crew's capsule and kill all of them. The same issue also threatened the crews of 3 other Apollo missions. The anomaly happened less than an hour before the Apollo 11 crew landed. As you remember back then, they would splash down in the ocean and a Navy ship would recover them. It was kind of amazing, Steve, when you think about today's technology and, of course, the space shuttle years. But the capsule would splash around in the ocean, had a big parachute that would land next to it. And then the Navy would come along and divers would be in a speed raft. They would roll out there, and they'd pull the astronauts out of the capsule into the raft, get them on the ship, bring them back, and then quarantine them for a few days to make sure they hadn't grown anything funky from being on the moon.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing, too, in the amount of technology, the computing technology that they had on the Apollo spacecraft is far less than we have on our phones today that we carry around with us.
Right. What's in your pocket has more computer power than the thing they used to get to the moon. The command module, which held the crew, had a heat shield. The heat shield protected the astronauts by deflecting and absorbing the scorching energies created by plowing through the Earth's atmosphere at 25,000 miles an hour, more than a dozen times as fast as a speeding bullet. The service module becomes useless and posed a collision risk after the two parts separated. Now, the two parts had to separate for the landing capsule to be the thing that actually falls to Earth. However, when it falls off the second part, it's supposed to drift off in a pattern that doesn't come back and smack you in the face. It's like, think about driving a car. Steve, you're driving, I'm in the back seat.
Yeah.
You throw something out the window, I'm in the back seat with the window open. Whatever you throw out the window is going to be sucked into the car towards me.
Yeah, or go flying way back into the back behind the car, not come back around to hit you in the front.
So what happens is, with all the calculations and all the miraculous things the engineers did, for whatever reason, and it's detailed in this book, it's a longer story, but they couldn't properly account for that. The jettison anomaly, again, could have smashed into the capsule and killed them as they were coming back and in such a heroic way. So that one couldn't be helped. However, astronaut Charlie Duke, who was one of the last astronauts to walk on the moon, is Apollo 16. I'd forgotten about this, and I don't know how well this story is known, but according to a Business Insider interview, Charlie Duke said he was... I love this term. He was horsing around on the moon. He was horsing around on the moon, and he and mission commander John Young just had a few moments left on the moon's surface, not wanting to waste any precious time on this planet, or this moon, looking back at our planet. He said, I was horsing around.
Was he playing, like, hopscotch or something? I mean, what do you do?
Well, it's
with rocks?
It's very limited gravity, right? So you can bounce around and do things you can't do here.
Around.
So he did his best to perform a high jump. He tried to launch himself several feet off the lunar surface.
Oh.
Unfortunately, the weight of his suit and the life support system strapped to his back was too much to handle, and he crashed onto his back and the vital systems in his backpack. He says the backpack weighed as much as I did, so I went over backwards. It's a fiberglass shell, and it contains all of your life support systems. If it broke, I'm dead. Young helped Duke to his feet. And the shaken astronaut then spent the next several seconds listening closely to see if he heard a hiss or anything else that was unusual. If he heard a hiss, that would have meant he would have ripped his spacesuit.
And eventually escaping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, eventually dead. Mm-hmm. There was also no weird sounds coming from the life support equipment that would keep him alive. He said, I learned a lesson. Never do anything in space that you haven't practiced.
Right.
And we didn't have time to practice the high jump.
If it's not there in the book of scripts where it says step two, step three, don't do it.
And what was he jumping over is what I want to say.
I think he was probably just so happy he was on the moon. You know, he was doing a little high jump thing and...
Just dance. Yeah,
you
next
should definitely
time. Just dance.
You should definitely get Nancy on the show. We've had her on the opening bell before.
She's great.
She's the editor of Universe Today, which is a great follow if you follow on Twitter. Wonderful interview, great author.
All right, cool. Yeah. Cool. We'll get that done. We're coming up on 9 o'clock. Steve will do the news now, and then we'll come back and Paul Coit will join us. Oh, and Dave's got a parade he's gonna do. We should talk about the parade, Mr. Grand Marshal.
Well, if sure.
Yeah, so we'll get to that as well.
I don't want to toot my own horn or anything. But.
Taste of Chicago coming up, and we'll talk to the manager of Taste of Chicago and the owner of Just Sandwiches be on as well. So a bunch to do here in the 9 o'clock hour. Hi to everybody on CLTV.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Live on CLTV and 720 WGN. WGNradio.com, the app. I mean, wherever you listen to us, thank you very much. Thank you for the support. We appreciate it very much. There's some folks in show business having difficult days, but thanks to you, we're doing just fine. We appreciate that very much. Dave, you are a Grand Marshal.
I am.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I've never been a Grand Marshal before.
Big duties. I don't want any pressure on you.
I don't really know all my responsibilities.
Okay. Do you have a parade wave?
Well, I've been working on the, it's like this.
It's a wrist and a twist. A wrist and a twist. Wrist, easy to remember. Twist, wrist, twist, wrist, wrist, twist, twist, wrist, twist.
How's this?
You don't want to do a lot of this because you'll get tired soon.
Yeah.
So a wrist, twist, that's really the key.
Okay.
What about a car? What are you driving?
Yeah, and have you settled on a wardrobe yet, a 4th of July wardrobe?
There's a lot going on.
I think you should have many wardrobe changes during the parade.
That would be tough. There are a lot of questions here. I don't have the answers to all of them.
Well, do you take your own car, or do they give you one?
Well, we're going to tell you right now, because Alan Gerstner's in studio. And Alan, did you hire Dave? Did you hire Dave?
Did I hire him?
Oh, yeah. Did you say, let's see, I've got 100 possibilities for Grand Marshal. I like Dave in it. Is that how this went down?
Yes. Yes, that's exactly how it went.
Very nice. I was invited, not hired.
What will he be riding in?
We've got a convertible for him and his wife.
What a princess.
Yes, it's going to be a nice convertible with your name on the side.
Oh, look at that.
Right. Dave Ennett.
Does he get to keep the sign?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
I thought you were going to ask if I get to keep the convertible.
No,
it's got my name on it.
That's got to be returned.
Yeah, let's not go crazy. The Skokie 4th of July parade and the fireworks festival to follow happens, oddly enough, on
the 4th,
the 4th of July.
Yes.
Look at you.
We have a lot of people ask, when is the 4th of July parade?
Yeah, we're going to do it on the 4th. Give me the specifics. Where do you start? What time?
So we start at Oakton Community College.
Good.
Lincoln Avenue in Skokie, and we go up Lincoln to Oakton, and then down Oakton to Oakton Park. The reviewing stand is at Oakton Park. That's where Dave is going to sit with the mayor of Skokie, George Van Dusen.
So you're going to drop him off there?
We're going to drop him off.
So get out.
Right.
We're done with you.
Well, see, Roger Badage is our master of ceremonies.
Right, right.
So,
Roger Badage from the newsroom?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So Dave has a bit of an attention span issue. So if he sees anything related to sports along the parade route, he'll get out and call it. Could be kids at a playground. Could be anything going on. He will climb out of the car and go over there and start calling the game.
Well, you know, we have Tommy Hawk.
Oh.
The mascot from the Chicago Blackhawks. So if you want to go out and shake his hand, he'll probably be on his little motorcycle. And they have the Chicago Blackhawks fan van.
The problem with shaking Tommy Hawk's hand, as you know, is he'll eat you.
Yes.
You'll just start mobbing you with
his hand. He's got the drum, too, right? I mean,
sure. Well, what are your concerns, Dave? What questions do you have for our friend?
Well, Alan, I don't know that I have concerns. I just want to make sure that I fulfill expectations. I want to make sure that I meet the requirements and I do everything it's expected of me on Thursday.
So we know that as the voice of the Northwestern Wildcats,
mm-hmm.
you have thousands and thousands of fans out there that want to come and see you and wave to you. So you have to get that wave down when you're going down the street.
Now, Alan, this is the 30th year for you to do this?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So do you agree on my wrist twist theory?
Yes, that was very good.
Yeah, wrist and a twist?
Wrist, twist. Twist.
So think of your wrist locked and a twist.
Can you switch arms?
You can, because you have people on both sides of the street.
You've really got to be doing this.
So
right?
It's back and forth
like this.
And just to prove my theory, Dave, go ahead and wave to me like this. See how long he can do that without getting tired.
Oh, yeah, my hand's already getting tired.
Right?
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? I mean, the greatest Olympians can't do this for more than 10 or 15 seconds.
What about the pointing to people in the random people in the stands who they don't really realize you're pointing at them, but it's like you recognize someone in the stands?
It's a good move too, and I think the late great Chet Kopic would appreciate it if you just pointed to the crowd.
That's right.
Is Dave going to be throwing candy?
No.
Nothing.
No.
You know, so Alan said that very forcefully.
No. How about kale?
We don't. Kale, maybe. I don't know. That won't hurt anybody.
Well, it's Skokie. How about a nice deli sandwich?
Throw some basketballs at the fans.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe a bagel.
He's got to throw something. That would put him at ease.
Well, maybe you want to get out and shake some hands. I don't know. The parade route is about 25 minutes, so you got to wave for 25 minutes.
Yeah, so you have an opportunity to get out and, you know, say hi to the kids and stuff.
Yeah, but whatever, the car keeps going?
The car
has to run to catch it.
The car's going at a very slow rate of speed.
Okay.
Yeah. Parade speed.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Does Dave get to wear a crown or a cape or anything?
A cape?
Crown? Like a king?
A crown?
Well, you know.
Plus, it's going to be like 85 degrees, isn't
it? That's true.
Right.
Yes. Do you have a wardrobe request? I mean, what should he wear?
He can wear whatever he wants. He can wear
suit and a tie?
No.
Well, he's going to wear purple.
That. Right. Well,
right.
I wear my Northwestern hat. You know.
Do you have any Northwestern gear, Dave, that might be appropriate?
No, but I can probably come up with some between now and Thursday.
You know, Dave, I was at Target over the weekend, and they have some really nice American flag ties.
Well, that's a good idea, necktie. Except I don't really want to wear a tie on Thursday.
Yeah, that won't look good with the purple.
The other thing I would hate to see you in, because, you know, I'm not trying to judge here, but I don't think the American flag is a uniform that should be worn as clothing. You know, if you have a T-shirt with a nice respectful flag on it. But the American flag onesies that I occasionally see, the adult onesies, not good.
Singlets?
No.
You've always been very consistent on that.
Yes. The flag should be treated with respect.
Now, what about like an Uncle Sam type hat?
If you want to. Roger's got this red, white, and blue uniform he wears.
But it's not a flag. It's just
a
color.
No.
And I don't want to steal his thunder.
No, of course not. And you know, it's odd that Roger would want to be seen. You know, he rarely wants to be the center of attention, as you know. It's the Skokie 4th of July parade in downtown Skokie. And then the fireworks are when?
Fireworks are in the evening. There's a musical venue at Niles West High School. And then at dusk, usually around 9:30, is when the fireworks start. And it's to music.
Oh, synchronized.
Yes.
Now, Dave, you got to do that as well.
I have to actually synchronize the music?
No, no, you got
to
light the fuses. You got to light the fuses on the fireworks. I don't know if you have any experience in that, but... You know, you're going to be working your hand all day with the parade wave, so your hand should be good to go.
No, that seems like a good reason not to light the fuses, because my hand will be tired.
Can you run fast?
Yeah, I can run pretty fast.
Light, then run.
Not that fast.
And the great Wayne Mesmer will join you as well.
Wayne is going to be singing the national anthem this year.
Seems appropriate.
Yes. And we've got the Jesse White Tumblers, so if you'd like to join them, you know, we can have you... Do that also.
Only the finale when they have like 10 guys line up and you jump over them and then do the flip. Yeah, that's the one I would do.
Yeah, it's the tumblers, not the stumblers. It's a very important difference.
Important distinction.
All right, so what should people do if they want more information? You got a website you want to send them to?
We absolutely do. You can go to Skokie4TH, so mm-hmm. it's the number 4th.org. Mm-hmm. Pull up the website there, click on the program tab and the actual lineup of the parade, and alphabetical order is there so they can see on their smartphones while they're at the parade if they want. So
Alan Gerstner is here. What are you doing? You're not doing this?
Well, I'm in the technology business. So
anything specific in the technology business, or would you have to kill me if you told me?
I'd have to kill you if I told you.
I understand. I completely understand. We are comparing grandchildren. You have five. I have one, and one almost any day now.
Correct.
Well, that's not true. A month from now.
Yes. So
we don't want to rush that. But these incredibly cute twins that you have, and five boys in all.
Five boys. My son has two. Bryce and Cole, and then my daughter has Nicholas, he's seven, and the identical twin boys just turned two, and that's Max and Leo.
Well, this is Abigail Grace. I'm holding a picture up here. She's 3.5, so she would be a cougar to the two-year-olds.
That's right.
Yeah. So, but we're very lucky.
Yes, we are. We are very blessed to have wonderful grandkids.
So we have six grandchildren between us.
Right. Right. And Dave, who knows? By Thursday, maybe you'll have a couple.
And I have two.
Oh. You got two plus. I didn't have a chance to tell you. There's three or four others you didn't hear about. yes, Mary Vandeveld has two.
Boys, what? Girls, Mary.
Two little girls.
Yeah.
Ah. Yep.
Beautiful little girls.
Best thing about being a grandparent is that you can go home.
Yeah. Well, at some point you should. Right?
Or they'll kick you out.
Right.
That's right.
Right. I told my son the great concern you should have is if you keep having kids is that you'll end up doing both of our diapers. But hopefully that won't get to that. So, all right. So, again, the Skokie 4th of July parade will happen when?
On the 4th of July, 12 noon.
Okay.
Oakton Community College is the start. Oakton Park is the finish. And come and see Dave and all of our units. We have 84 units and 1,700 participants.
Wow. That's tremendous.
Well, thank you for asking me. I'm very honored. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, we're honored to have you.
Must be quite a volunteer team. You have to put all that together.
We do. It takes us a whole year to put it together.
Well, congratulations. I know it's going to be a great day. And, Dave, you're going to be a great Grand Marshal.
I hope so.
I've done this a couple times, Dave. It's stressful.
Okay, you had to say that. I've done it a couple times.
Well, but I just want to tell you, from the Grand Marshal position, you have a lot of pressure on your pal.
Really?
Yeah. Don't screw it up. Okay. Children all along the parade route looking forward to this.
Thanks for the vote of confidence.
Mommy, why is the Grand Marshal scaring me? You don't want any of that.
No.
Okay? That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Alan, thank you.
Thank you very much for having me today.
And happy 4th. I know it's going to be a great parade.
That's a long one. It's a very long one. And it's gone. Two runs short off the bat of Aaron Hicks. His sixth home run of the season. It's a six-run first inning for the Yankees. And that's what they came to see. That's a solid contact by Chambers. It's going. And it's gone. That's a hero. Tanaka cannot believe it. And what a first inning in London. We are off and running. We've had 12 runs. It's the Yankees 6. It's the Red Sox 6.
To the Steve Cochran Show.
See, turn the clock back almost 30 years. Crazy to think about. Paul Coit and I were friends. Paul Coit's visiting in Minneapolis, and I did the morning show on 101.3 KDWB. And I said, Paul, you know, the Minnesota Twins play right across the street. This is at the old Metrodome. As we finish this show, it happens to be a day game. Let's go over to the I've never been to a baseball game. So we went over to the baseball game. One of the great joys of my life was after I bought him a Twins hat, it slid down over his tiny head to a point where I couldn't stop laughing for as much as an hour. But then we went inside. And we go inside. I was trying to explain baseball to him the same way he had explained soccer, football, to me. And we hadn't talked much about baseball since then. Fast forward last week, get a phone call from Paul. Need help. Need help. I'm doing the VIP treatment Q&A thing for the Sox and the Red Sox and the Yankees. And then he asked me a few baseball questions. Mostly he asked me about three of the people he'd be dealing with, Chris Chambliss, Bucky Dent, and Reggie Smith. So, of course, I gave him fake information. That's what friends are for.
Of course.
And this weekend, he spent a great amount of time with them. And by all accounts, my friend Paul Coit, live from London, you killed it. You crushed it. You're a baseball guru now.
You know what? It's funny to say that because I am actually now a baseball guru. I realize it only takes about 3 days to become a fully fledged expert in this sport. It's really not too difficult, is it?
Say something baseball-y to me so I know you learned.
It's a fly ball. How about that? I actually said that after every, I think it was every pitch. Or I did scream at the top of my lungs, it's out of here, is what I shouted as well. And I was getting strange looks. But I think there were more people that looked at me and thought, yeah, that guy knows his game. Now, I think that's probably what it was.
What was your number one task with Chambliss and Dent and Reggie Smith and the like? Did you have to do interviews?
Yeah, I think my number one task was trying to convince them I wasn't an idiot, which was quite tricky. So once I got through that, we went to about, there was all these huge lounges, like they had about 400, 500, sometimes 1,000 people in. My biggest task in all was to go in with three of them and do like a 20-minute, as we would call a Q&A, you know, a few questions and answers. I'd do an interview with them, and it turned out in front of pretty much 99% of your countrymen. I mean, everybody was from the States that was there, although most of the tickets were sold in the UK, and they assumed there was going to be this huge UK audience. It was pretty much all Americans that were there. So, and it was interview them and talk about their career. But I loved it, and it was quite fun. Really, really fun.
But it's a lot of pressure, and I'm being serious now. It's a lot of pressure because it would be similar if I were parading around Harry Kane and a few of his friends and trying to explain the Premier League to a bunch of Brits.
That's it. But you know what I find funny? Is that how you can take any sport and then you can transfer it to another sport you're not aware of. I mean, I did a lot of research and mainly about the people. So I knew about the people and talked about their great moments. You know, and you got Bucky Dent in 78 and Chambliss in 76 and Reggie Smith at 60. I'm surprised at myself. Reggie Smith at 67 and, you know, then the World Series they actually won with the Dodgers. I will forget all this in a week, by the way. I will be going in a week. And asking him about that. And then you can rely on things like, if you get a good early start, it'll bode for the rest of the game. There's that one. But what do you prefer? So you're coached. Is it harder playing or is it harder coaching? And they'll always say the same thing. Oh, it's easy playing because coaching. So there's all those sorts of questions. You can ask any sport. You can ask a gymnast the same thing. And you could still get away with it.
It's a brilliant tip for the young broadcasters and young future internet stars. That's what you're here for, to help the kids. Now, sold out some 60,000 people, but you saw a crazy couple of games because, Dave, I don't know if you know this, center field was 350 feet.
Yeah.
That's typically a distance down the left field or right field lines, Paul, which means the field was remarkably small, so the fact that there were so many home runs was not surprising.
But the home runs were flying so high, surely you got another 50 feet on those. So I don't think that truly makes a difference. What's the longest distance then center field would normally be? What's the biggest one?
440, 450, something like that?
That would be a stretch.
So a lot more.
Yeah, quite a bit more. Yeah.
So would you put that down to the crazy scores?
Oh,
would you put that out? And also, what about the length of the game? It was like that. It was like 3 minutes of the longest nine-inning game there's ever been.
It was the third longest.
I wouldn't worry about how long. It was going to be a huge.
Third
it went
longest.
Up for 15 and a half hours.
I don't think it was that long.
It was the third longest in Major League history for a nine-inning game, and the first inning, when each team scored six runs, took like 50-some minutes.
That's just nuts. It's crazy. All right, so let's do a little quiz here and see how much you learned. And Super Joe, Super Joe, if you have a baseball question, not specific to players, but about the game itself. For instance, let me start. Paul, what is a rosin bag?
A rosin bang.
No. A rosin bag. A rosin bag.
A rosin bag.
Yeah, what is
it? Rosin bag.
Yeah.
You're talking about Klaus Rosenberg. He came over from Berlin and played in the minor leagues back in the late 40s, and he joined the Orioles back in 63. You're one of the finest German baseball players there's ever been.
That's not wrong, but in the case of this, I was actually looking for the bag the pitcher handles to make sure there's no moisture on his hand so he can throw the ball with a good grip. Dave?
Named after Kurt. Yeah, I know the one. Yeah.
Question for Paul.
Question for Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
Yeah, you think hard.
Oh, I got one.
Go ahead, Mary.
Go ahead, Mary.
What is a southpaw?
Oh, good. Very good. What is a southpaw?
A southpaw is a left-hander.
Very nice. Yes.
It's a left-hander.
Nice.
Very nice.
I'd like to ask Paul about the mascot race on Saturday.
Okay. Yeah.
Because it was,
that was crazy.
It was unlike any I had ever seen. It wasn't the sausages. It wasn't the presidents. Yeah. Paul, correct me if I believe it was Henry VIII. It was Winston Churchill. It was the Loch Ness Monster and Freddie Mercury.
That's right.
Okay, why did they select those four?
Because we couldn't pander any harder.
That's the weirdest.
I think it's. They used to be. There was a TV show that was on recently that was just the most ridiculous TV show where they had just like great big mascot type. I don't know what you'd call them. What would you call those great big things? They're not even mascots, and they feature in this TV show. And I thought it would be a great idea to have people dress up in these huge costumes and do little athletic events. So you know what's happened, and I swear this is the reason you've got those, because they're not even mascots. They chose the four that they knew that people in the States would recognize.
Pander.
So that was the reason you had those four. I'm certain that's the reason.
I have no doubt that you're absolutely right. Super Joe, do you have a baseball question?
I sure do. Paul, what is the cleanup hitter?
Oh, very good.
Oh, the cleanup hitter. So what happens, you see, is that the mound that was imported from Pennsylvania that was sent all the way over.
He's not kidding. He's not kidding. They had dirt brought in from Pennsylvania for the infield.
And Chicago.
That is true.
Yeah.
So they're doing it. They're spitting. They're kicking. The dust is coming over. So the hitter comes out, and he's thinking, you know, I need to score something here. So he's more likely to come at the end of the inning. Mess everywhere. Comes up with a little tiny dustpan and brush, crushes it around the outside, then gets his bat out. And that's usually when he starts scoring runs.
So that's
it. Is that correct?
Yes, I think that's absolutely true. Paul, what is a bunt?
A bunt. Now, a bunt is the ball, you know, can come flying at a very, very fast pace. And the base is loaded, maybe. So what they will do instead of swing is just put the bat down. It'll just bounce off the bat without a swing. Or bunt off the bat. Is that right?
Good. That's exactly right.
How about just a follow-up on that? What's a suicide squeeze?
Oh, what's a suicide squeeze, Paul?
Suicide squeeze. I think I've been out with a few of those, you know. I've got to tell you, I've been out with a few of those. We've all had a few in our path. I'd rather not go into it, but there was a few there on Saturday.
All right, so I guess I won't ask you about a slump buster.
No. That follows on from the suicide squeeze.
So, all right, my friend. Greatly entertaining as always. Thank you for being on, and
Did I get most right?
They were all wrong.
Okay, fine.
That's Paul Coit, British baseball expert. Hear him on Talk Sport 2. You've heard him?
Yes.
Between midnight and 4. So when you get up in the morning, you could be streaming Talk Sport 2 for his final hour. You, David.
Oh, me? I will. Especially next year when the Cubs and Cardinals play in London.
That's exactly right. And we'll, of course, all be there as the Cardinals flagship. All right. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
See you later. Some of this stuff is just for me. It's 9:34. The headlines are next on 720 WGN.
I got it. I'm patched in.
All right, let me hear it.
Now, from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
Relax. Systems check out. Signal across the board. What's the frequency?
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Talking about something really important. Sorry, got distracted. It's 9:43. Guess what's coming up? Taste of Chicago. It's not just a Chicago tradition. It's an American tradition. And it's happening again in short order here. Neil Heitz is the Taste of Chicago manager, and Karen Roberts owns Just Sandwiches. And she brought in a platter of sandwiches. It's just going to make this station go nuts. There's going to be a riot. Nice to see both of you. Neil, when is Taste?
Thank you. Hi, Steve. Taste is July 10th through the 14th.
So it's coming up.
Coming up. Almost here, man.
All right. Now, there's a change in mayor. Does that change the taste at all?
Not necessarily. You know, we're certainly well into the planning stages as Mayor Lightfoot joins us. But we're interested to find out what are her tastes, right? And what are going to be the picks that she makes when she comes down to Taste of Chicago.
And Dave, as you know, Taste of Chicago is not just food. It's food. It's music. It's people watching. It's fireworks. It's craziness. It's good times.
It is. What do you have other than the food? Not that the food isn't the main event.
Well, we're going to get to the food.
Oh, yeah. We've got a lot going on at this year's Taste of Chicago. Five concerts, five nightly concerts over at the Petrillo Bandshell. Tickets are on sale for those concerts at tasteofchicago.us. We've got Summer Dance every night moving into the Taste of Chicago with different themes. We've got Year of Chicago Theater being represented by the likes of Second City and a few other theater companies that are going to be down at Taste doing some really cool performances Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We've got the Ferris Wheel coming back to the Taste of Chicago this year.
They're moving it over from Navy Pier.
Just a real quick
different wheels.
You guys could see it right out of the studio.
Sure,
so.
Exactly.
Yeah, a lot going on.
All right, let's talk food. Introduce our guest here.
Please. Karen Roberts is new this year to the Taste of Chicago with her organization Just Sandwiches. I think it's
That's J-U-S.
J-U-S.
No T.
No T. You keep your T.
Yeah, you keep your T.
No, that's what I'm talking about.
She's one of 36 new vendors for this year's Taste of Chicago. Total of 80 vendors this year. 36 are new, which is an awesome, awesome increase. And we are just absolutely delighted to have Karen as part of the Taste of Chicago lineup. And her first year at Taste of Chicago.
Where's your business?
I am not actually a brick and mortar business. I cater. I have a shared kitchen. The Quarry Event Center.
How many sandwiches do you make in a day?
Oh, man. You don't know these hands. They can make a whole lot of sandwiches.
Apparently so. Do you have kids of your own?
I have kids of my own. I've got two.
Do you ever make sandwiches for lunch, for school, or do you go, look, I'm making sandwiches all day?
You know, listen, when they be like, Mama, can you take me to Subway? I have a real problem with that. I'm like, oh, you go with the enemy.
What?
They try it sometime, you know, on the quick, you know.
Before we get to Taste, what's the website if people want to find out about your catering business?
www.justsandwiches.com.
Mm-hmm. J-U-S.
J-U-S.
Drop that. Tea.
Drop that tea.
And
simple, sexy sandwiches, and they are a homemade tradition with a gourmet twist.
You got a phone number if you want to throw out, too?
708-325-8778.
Now, you got something here called turkey, turkey, turkey?
Turkey, turkey, turkey.
Oh, turkey, turkey, turkey.
Uh-huh.
Turkey, turkey, turkey. What's on a turkey, turkey, turkey?
So, the turkey, 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 just like Tony, Tony, Tone.
Yeah. By the way, give me a little If I Had No Loot, Michael. Give me a little bit of If. Joe, give me a little If I Had No Loot. Take me out of this with that. Turkey, turkey, turkey. What's on it?
So what's on it is turkey pastrami, turkey ham, honey turkey, white American cheese, spring mixed lettuce, banana peppers, purple onions, and Italian seasoning.
Well, what else do you need? Good night, everybody. That's it. That's all you need. Now, you've also brought in something to make Dave happy. You have a veggie sandwich as well.
You got to have the veggie people. You know, they're taking over. And sometimes...
Hear that, Steve?
They're taking over. They are infiltrating the meat world.
We can't stop them?
I mean, I don't know. They're a strong force. Okay. They like gorillas in the mist. You know, they're coming out. So, on the veggie side...
I've never heard veggie people described like gorillas from Gorillas in the Mist. But you know what? You're not wrong.
Yeah, you know, they're strong.
So what's on that thing?
So on the garbage sliders, it's a gluten-free ciabatta bread, roasted red pepper hummus with spring mixed lettuce, purple and white onions, cucumber, banana peppers, red, orange, and yellow peppers, and also Italian seasoning.
Now, when you do a catering run, what do people normally ask for as far as percentages go? Do you have the 5% of crazy people who want the veggie sliders, or is it higher than that?
No, actually, on the veggie side, they love my Popeye.
What's a Popeye?
The Popeye has spinach dip, cucumbers, grilled piquillo peppers, and baby spinach on top of it.
It's like phone sex to you just hearing this.
No, but see, you would like that.
Yeah, I would.
You would like that.
Here, tell Steve the new sandwich that you're debuting at Taste of Chicago. Yeah. I think that's what he really wants to hear about.
That's the one.
It's a real man sandwich? Is what we're talking about?
Oh, listen. You have to get yourself mentally prepared for the deep fried
get in the zone.
Beef rib tip sandwich.
What are you talking about?
You heard what I said.
Deep fried rib tip.
Beef rib tip sandwich.
Come on.
Yeah.
That is fantastic. I'm voting for you for president. I don't care if you're running or not.
Appreciate it.
That's tremendous. Where's your sandwich skill come from?
Just my joy and love of cooking and wanting to just hone it into just one thing. And I had gotten really tired of eating bad sandwiches.
Okay.
And one day, and my cousin, I thought that she had made some sandwiches, but she did not. She had bought these sandwiches, but I asked her, hey, what's on the sandwich? And she told me everything that was on it. And I went to buy all the ingredients. The next time we went to an event, she had the sandwiches there and found out that they were from somewhere else. And I was like, wow. So it just happened.
One thing leads to another.
Yeah.
Did you cook as a little girl?
I did. I cooked as a little girl. My grandfather taught me how to cook a lot.
Well, that's a good story.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I was in the military. I wasn't a cook in the military, but I always hung around the kitchen.
What'd you call your grandfather? Because I'm a grandfather and I'm Pops.
Oh, well, this was before, you know, everybody gave y'all cool names. He was just Grundy. Y'all all now want to be something.
Hey, whoa, back it down just a little bit. Huh? Come on. Neil, if you have people, and I know you do, are listening right now, go, well, I need more information. I got to know about parking. I got to know about hours. I got to know about all that. Where are you sending them?
We've got everything lined up for them at tasteofchicago.us.
Anything new this year that we should know about?
Well, there's a lot of new stuff. Certainly, you can purchase your food and beverage tickets in advance if you'd like and pick them up at a will call window. We have 6 will call windows throughout the Taste of Chicago, so no line, no wait in advance. That's a great thing. We have a new Oasis concert viewing experience that comes with some food and beverage over at the Petrillo Bandshell. Tickets for that are at tasteofchicago.us. And like I said, there's all new themes at the Lifeway Foods Taste Kitchen this year. Every day is a different theme, with the Mac and Cheese Smackdown taking place on July 14th.
Wasn't I in a band called Mac and Cheese Smackdown?
You were. They played Union Square when you were.
It's a National Mac and Cheese Day, coincidentally, on July 14th, so it would be appropriate for the Taste of Chicago to pay homage to it. And we've got a whole new presenting sponsor, DoorDash, who right now is doing this awesome promotion where if you order from a Taste of Chicago restaurant on the DoorDash app, the delivery is free. So leading up to the event, like, you cannot possibly eat 300 menu items at the Taste of Chicago. If you want to start getting your taste on now,
yeah,
free delivery.
Pre-eat.
Pre-taste.
Right?
Pre-taste.
That's what I'm saying.
Pre-taste.
Got to get ready.
Yep.
Michael, come on in here. Michael Heidemann. Michael's going to eat one of each of your sandwiches here.
Okay.
And I think I know which one's going to win, even though I'm sure they're both great. Michael, grab one of the turkeys. We got a little music going on so you can eat, too.
Turkey.
And then the garbage slider veggie thing. All right, now go over here and sit down. Get on a microphone. People on CLTV will be able to watch this. That's why it always pays to work on this show, the food's free.
Gotta love it, though.
All right, Michael, which one do you want to try first?
I'm the most nervous about the veggie sandwich.
See, I would do the veggie first, and then you can clear your palate with the turkey egg.
So I'm going to try the veggie one first.
Okay, take a big bite of the veggie.
Garbage
sandwich. Here we go. Michael is now put the sandwich in his mouth. He's taking a big bite. Now, are you much of a veggie guy?
Not very often.
Don't talk with your mouth full. not very often. So, on a 1 to 10 for a non-veggie guy, 10 being it's the greatest thing I've ever had, what's your rating?
Well, bread is very important. I'm going to give it the juices are very, very crisp. I guess you could
crisp say. Juices.
Crisp juices.
Crisp juices. Juice, all right.
Like sweet juices.
I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. Everybody likes
sweet juices. So the sweet juices and the nice bread, I'm going to give it solid 8.
An 8?
Hey.
That's for a guy that doesn't eat veggie.
Look at that.
All right, now reward yourself. Let me get a little turkey.
Now, this is quite the sandwich. There's a lot of girth to it. So I'm going to just take a bite real quick.
There we go. He listens to Tony.
You got
to
have the turkey. Tony.
Right. If I had no turkey.
I've had a million different turkey sandwiches in my life, and if I could say one thing to our audience, you got to be at the Taste of Chicago. This is one great turkey sandwich.
One of the greatest ever.
Thank you.
One of the greatest of all time.
Hey.
So good.
If you were down at the Taste, Mike, you'd be able to wash it down with a Malort cocktail, which is a new beverage that we are debuting this year at Taste of Chicago, the Malort Mule.
Right.
Chicago tradition.
Malort, a very, very hip millennial, not even millennial, post-millennial, pre-millennial kind of thing.
And, it's a thing,
and by the way, if you can't get Malort, maybe a 20-weight motor oil. All right, so you like them both?
I do.
But turkey is your winner?
Ooh, there's nothing better than this turkey sandwich.
Uh-oh.
Yes, it's one of my favorites.
And he's saying that now. He ain't even had the deep-fried beef rib sandwich.
That's what I'm talking about.
And if you don't want it deep-fried, you know, if you want it the health way, you can get it grilled.
Listen, I don't want you to feel any pressure. You don't need to bring that over for at least an hour.
No. So. You get it the day of, sir.
Website again for you.
www.justsandwiches.com. JustSandwiches.
Excellent job.
Phone number is 708-325-8778. And you can place your order through that phone number, or you can send an email to orders@justsandwiches.com.
And come on out to the Taste, because you're going to be there.
July 10th, opening day, pop-up number 31, people.
That's, look at you. You got it.
Listen,
figure it out.
You come to the pop-ups. You have the other restaurants that are here all the time, but come and check out the pop-ups every day. They're new restaurants. Give new
support
foods a try.
That's what we're saying. And Neil, one more time on the Taste website.
Absolutely. tasteofchicago.us.
Next time, bring somebody that's more fun.
Yeah, we did the best we could today, that's for sure.
And you can new jack swing on my next. It's my ringtone. I got to grab this call. And we'll come back with Wendy and someone named Bill, who's back in studio this morning. Nice to see Bill. Anyway, we'll get to that in just a second and wrap up another exciting Steve Cochran show where no one was injured right after this. And the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Steve will be next. All right, Bill and Wendy are here together again for the first time in days.
I just saw the sexiest sandwiches I've ever seen in my whole life, Steve, in the hall.
Did you hear this when you opened the door? As people from around the station swooped in to grab the sandwiches.
Saw that happen.
Hey, you know what? I shouldn't joke about this. I should put the picture up. Top of my house.
Yes.
This is a summer house in Naperville, not the double wide in East St. Louis where I normally live.
Yeah.
A hawk was trying to beat down my chimney and get into my chimney yesterday. And we got this picture of the hawk on top of the house.
Yeah.
You know, the hawk's on top of the house. Just smacking his head on this cover in the chimney.
Yeah. Was it Andrew Shaw?
It was not Andrew Shaw. It was taller than Andrew Shaw.
I'm so glad he's back.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
That is cool.
Now my son Dylan's jersey will work again.
Ah. See, it always helps.
It's part of the reason he came back, I would imagine.
So you think the hawk was actually celebrating Andrew Shaw's return?
Yes, it was a
Hawks
sign.
Everywhere are celebrating the return of Andrew Shaw.
That logically makes sense.
Including Andre Dawson, the hawk, and Ken the Hawk Harrelson. Everybody's in on it, Steve.
It's always a rule of three. You going to talk about your trip to Maine?
It'll come up, I would imagine.
What else?
There are 47 UFO sightings so far in Illinois this year, and we're going to talk to
the guy from MUFON.
MUFON. The Mutual UFO Network. We're going to talk to the director.
I met a guy from the History Channel documentary this morning, and I'm not sure he wasn't one of them.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, give that a listen with all the podcasts. Here's Wendy.
Excuse me. Win. Not with.
What an odd time for you to have a stroke.